Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
I'm going to appropriately name this episode the Brandon Graham episode of YWC Football Talk, episode 55. And we have so much to uncover today. Nightmare Bala, Markeem, Nightmare 10 once again, Phil. First time these guys are on in 2021. We got Wild Card Weekend. We got the National Championship. Oh, a coach was fired. And hey, maybe we'll get into a little bit of divisional talk. But fellas, how are we doing today?
I'm pretty great, man. I'm doing pretty well.
Doing good.
All right.
I can complain about a lot of things, but it's better. Life can always be worse, is how I look at it.
That's a great, Phil, I love that. You know what? It could be worse. But we're here talking football. We're all buddies just chopping it up, hopefully distracting you guys from whatever's going on in the real world. Obviously, shit right now isn't exactly right, so we're doing our best to use ourselves as an escape. But anyway, to get things off, I'm going to jump right into it. Markeem, say what you got to say about Doug Peterson getting fired, and then Phil and I can chime in as well.
All right. First off, I'm happy. It was the right move. I feel like he clearly had divided the locker room to an extent, especially after the debacle in the last week of the regular season. I thought as a play caller, he just kind of lost his touch, lost his edge. I'll always appreciate him for getting us that ring, don't get me wrong, but like there are times where just things just need to change, and this is one of those times. I think everyone will benefit from this. I think he'll benefit from this. I think if they decide to keep Carson Wentz, he'll benefit from this. I think that in the long run, this is a good thing. We're going to be bad for a while. I mean, we've been bad this season. We're going to be bad for a little while. But, you know, it's the right time. It's better to do it now before it becomes a volatile situation. And, the situation becomes unsalvageable. And I don't think it's at that point now. I don't feel like we're the Jacksonville Jaguars or the New York Jets or anything like that. You know what I mean? So,
no. You
know. Yeah, I mean.
All right, go ahead, Phil.
No, I was just going to say, I think I agree with Markeem. I think one thing that I'll say for this, and maybe a lot of people won't agree with this logic behind it, but I was talking to my good friend Curtis, who's also a huge Eagles fan, and he was like, and I was like, man, y'all are a hot mess right now. He's like, yeah, we got a Super Bowl, though, so I don't care. It's like, and that's kind of like, you know, isn't that the goal, to get a Super Bowl? I mean, obviously you want your team to be consistent, but like I always talk about, and I know people are going to say what they're going to say about me always bringing it back to the Patriots, but that's what I can relate to.
My bad,
that's
my phone.
You
know what
I'm saying? I thought we were going to have a run-in or something.
Yeah, I was about to say. I didn't have anything planned.
Oh, God, here comes Triple H or something next. No, but
here comes El Phantasmo.
I obviously did not recognize the music, so there you go. No, but we do not own trademarks. No, what I'm saying is that, you know, it's like you can get put up with the bad if it brought you good. Like, obviously the Eagles had never won a Super Bowl. You're like, okay, here we go, doing another cycle again. But like, you know, like when people are talking about, oh, how are you feeling this year? I'm like, I got to witness my Patriots in 9 Super Bowls. We won 6 of them. Like, I'm okay. Like, I think I'll be okay with one bad year. Like, obviously, if it continues, you know, then you talk about that. But like with the Eagles, to get it back to the Eagles, sorry, I always relate it to the Patriots. But I think Doug Peterson, I think it was clear it's either Carson Wentz or Doug Peterson. I think that was clear going in. I didn't think Doug Peterson was an option. I thought they were for sure. I didn't know there was.
Yeah, I thought it was done. I thought it was Carson Wentz was gone.
Curtis actually told me something I didn't know. Apparently, he threatened to quit before the season. I don't know how like true that is. I just going by what friends told me, but he tried to quit before the season. So if that's true, then okay, there's clearly something already starting, and maybe he. I mean, you can make an argument. Maybe he thought he was doing things to get fired at this point. I don't know. But clearly, it needs, like Markeem said, clearly there needs to be a new start. I think Doug Peterson, there's a lot of rumors about going to New York. I think, is it the GM in New York or something that has a connection with him?
Yeah, Joe Douglas was with the Eagles before the Jets.
So, I mean, good luck, Danny. That's all I can say. But I guess I will follow that up with, there's two questions now, Markeem, right, with the Eagles. So the one question is, that I have is not really related to the Eagles, but is Doug Peterson one of those you had one good run in you and that's it kind of coaches? Or is he better than that? He just needs a new start? That's my first question. And then next off, like, what do? You have Hurts and Wentz. A lot of people are looking at the situation where you can't keep them both. But if you can make Wentz happy, I mean, are you going to be able to? I mean, Hurts doesn't really have a choice in the matter. But like Wentz does, like does Wentz have a big say in who the coach is? I mean, if I'm Eagles, I definitely make sure that he's a big part of that.
No. To me, he has the way he's played. To me, he has no say. You play whoever we get. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But
you've been terrible.
I personally think this is just from an outside. I just don't think you can salvage what happened with Wentz. I knew coach obviously could help that, but then could you also be like in the same situation again, like by the end of next season?
All right.
It
depends on why this thing fell apart. Like yeah. if it was just because him and Doug Peterson didn't get along, well, problem solved. Yeah, right. I mean, now if it's a problem that Wentz had with management, we don't know. Like we'll find out.
A lot of the talking and rumblings on the outside was that like management wanted Hurts to play. I remember hearing that. I don't know how true it is, but like I do remember like management wanting to like was forcing his hand in a sense, and so that like, Peterson basically at the end of the season probably said, "Screw you! I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't play the third string quarterback." So I mean, I feel like there's a lot like we don't obviously this, even what I just said.
This is a very odd situation.
So I don't know.
We'll get our answers years from now. Like,
because it's one of those
5-10 years down the road when all these dudes retire and
right.
Carson Wentz tells his story. That's when we'll get our answers.
And I think it's the same case, you know, like to relate it back once again. But like, you know, before Brady left, like, you know, all the talk and all the rumors were just rumors, right? Like they were just things that you heard, like, oh, of course this person's not happy, or this is how this happened. It's like, you know, no one knows until the situation's over and they start talking about it. So, and even now, people still don't really know what separated.
I do think him and Bill were never cool.
I think towards the end, for sure, they were definitely like, "Hey, we do what we got to do." And then at the end, it was me or you, and well, we found out what happened.
I think they were just very successful co-workers. I don't think they were ever friends.
I don't think they were ever friends. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think they were like, "Hey, this is
we're really good together." You know what I mean,
yeah,
that's what I thought it was.
Right, and I do think they in that level they kind of got a little stuck towards the end.
Like you look at Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich. You can tell they were friends. I mean, you can tell they're Brady. Brady and Bill didn't like each other, man.
Right. It's kind of like kind of like the Shaq and Kobe relationship, what people thought it was.
Yeah, they were co-workers.
They were co-workers. And that's not a bad, like, get the job done and it doesn't matter. You know, it's when it doesn't work. That's when those, because if you look at all the bad scenarios of coaches and players that didn't get along, when they didn't win, it was massively exposed. So I think when you win, it doesn't matter. But anyways, what I was getting at would, you know, with Wentz and stuff, I don't know. I don't know if this is salvageable. Like you said, we may not know until, you know, into the next season or whatever. I just, with all the talks of Wentz getting traded, now all of a sudden he's going to stay. Like, it's just hard to see. But he is untradeable. He is uncuttable in the football terms. And when I say uncuttable, untradeable, it means, like, outside of something that makes no logical football sense. Like, doesn't make business football sense. Like, yes, if they want to cut him and lose, what, millions and millions of dollars, then yeah, they can cut him, but they're not going to. It's just not a contract that's going to – it would set the Eagles back years. So they're not going to do that. I think they, if someone – and you never know. Maybe a team decides to say, you know, we're going to throw an ugly amount or a ridiculous amount of a trade at you, and the Eagles can't refuse it. So it's kind of one of those things I think that will just – it'll play itself out with that. But to answer my question about the Peterson, do you think he's a one-and-done kind of coach or –
I don't want to sit here and say he's. I know I said on the show he was terrible. I don't think he's not terrible. I think he needs, and in terms of like defensive play calling, he's not terrible. But like he can't be the guy to call plays on both sides of the ball. Like you need someone to rein you in. The reason why it worked so well before is because he had Frank Reich, also like you know bouncing ideas off each other. You know what I mean, the situation was very different when Frank Reich left. I mean, so I don't think he's done. I just think that he honestly, I hate to turn this into like wrestling, but like he's like Vince Russo. Vince Russo wasn't completely terrible. We had a guy to tell him, hey, maybe you shouldn't do it this way. Maybe you should calm down a bit. That's what Peterson needs, I think. I don't think he's totally terrible.
And someone that kind of completes him, right?
I don't think he needs as much power as he had over the Eagles. You know what I mean?
Guys, just to break in quickly with other coaching news, it was just reported by Pro Football Talk that the Bears are expected to retain both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. So just a little, another potential coaching firing.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like they both deserved another opportunity.
I mean, they won eight. I know they won eight games the last 2 years, but they made the playoffs two or 3 years.
And we'll talk about it, but I felt like those receivers in that first half failed Mitch Trubisky because he was not playing that bad. The game got out of hand because the receivers failed him. Homeboy dropped the touchdown pass, you know what I mean? And then they were dropping first downs and all sorts of shit, man. He was not that terrible.
And Anthony Miller got ejected, too.
Exactly.
I'm just going to give my quick thoughts on Doug, and then we'll get into some other stuff. But I figured I just wanted to step in quickly and mention that because I was on my phone, and I also saw, too, that Wentz's dead cap is like $31 million or something crazy like that for next year. His contract's on the books until at least the 2nd of June. So
he'll either be there or they'll get a trade that they think they can't refuse. That's and I honestly with them being so like quick to get rid of not quick but like obviously Peterson stuff coming out and they fire him. I think they're gonna do everything they can to try to keep him. I just don't know what that means for Hurts. I mean, is Hurts going to be okay with sitting on the bench now? I think he has to be, but...
Yeah, but part of me also heard, too, the whole last year with Wentz, it was, when they drafted Hurts, like, his confidence took a hit. Not like what Aaron Rodgers did, and hey, look, his confidence took, like, he just said, all right, you're going to draft a quarterback, and boom, he's probably going to win MVP in a few weeks. Meanwhile, with Wentz took it as, oh, great, they're drafting my successor, I'm going to fail, I'm going to do this, and look what happened. He failed. Meanwhile, I just want to get my thoughts in quickly on the Peterson firing. I personally think Howie Roseman is more the problem than Doug Peterson was. I think it was just a matter of, look, the Nate Sudfeld incident and probably Wentz went to Lurie or Roseman and said, like, look, I want to be here. I want to stay here. I'd just rather do it without Doug. That's all. Meanwhile, situation I want to see with Philly, though, is how the hell they're going to fix that offensive line.
Is that it can never stay healthy. And honestly, the way you fix that, if you know you deal with injuries up front, is just draft better. That's it.
Yeah. Try to move up and get that Sewell kid from Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you gotta have me on here for the draft,
man. Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. No, I'm just saying that's a realistic thing, because that's the other thing I should remember, too. Yeah, like Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles in like the first or second day of camp this year.
Yeah, like, and you know, Lane Johnson is constantly hurt.
Yeah.
Justin Peters is old as dirt now. He's always hurt, too. Yeah,
God, I... Justin...
You gotta draft better, that's all.
Do you think he's a Hall of Fame-level offensive lineman, or...
Justin Peters? Yeah.
Yeah, like, Yeah, I think it's one of those things, though, where it's like... You gotta take old Yeller out to the back, like, to out back kind of situations. You know what? It's like, hey, look, you've had a great career, but it's time you hang him up.
He is Hall of Fame level, but he won't get in first ballot because it's hard for an offensive lineman to get in first ballot.
Unless you're Anthony Munoz.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Did Orlando Pace get in on first ballot? He should have if he didn't.
The only one I think that may have was Jonathan Ogden.
Pace. Well deserved, too. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ogden's one of the best offensive linemen in NFL history. I think Pace may have been first or second ballot.
Okay.
Yeah, but no,
I remember college Orlando Pace when I was like, I don't care, draft him. I don't care who it is, first pick. I remember back in the day where it didn't matter. Didn't matter who was coming at him. Didn't matter how many defensive linemen. Didn't matter the blitz. Didn't matter. He was like running into a wall, man. He was incredible.
You know, see,
where'd he go to college?
He went to Ohio State.
Okay.
Yeah, which I was going to say, boys, do we want to talk national championship first? Do we want to talk wild card first?
Yeah, let's go national title game. Let's go.
Man.
I'll go first because Marquise is going to have the most logical things to say, I guess.
Phil, I just want to give my 2 cents quickly.
Oh, yeah, you go ahead, Griff. Go ahead.
That is Devontae Smith may be one of the best receivers I had seen at the college level. I saw, not to call him out or anything, but I saw Alex post a tweet today about how everyone's saying the 20, and I want to ask you guys this too, what's the better offense, the 2020 Alabama or the 2019 LSU? Because for me, I think it's parts. Like, I think Burrow was a better quarterback than Jones, and I think Edwards-Helaire, I give the slight edge over Harris. But receiving, for as good as Chase and Jefferson are, like, Smith and Waddle are just 2-2. Because that's the thing people forget about was Waddle was the number one Waddle's guy. Waddle's supposed to be better, and then he got hurt, and then Smith was like, all right, hold my beer. I'm going to be this stud wide receiver one. Like, both guys are first-round worthy. I love the Landon Dickerson move that Alabama did towards the end. I missed it because with, like, 5 minutes left, I was kind of dozing off. So I was just like, all right, I'm out of here. Bama's got this game wrapped up. But I have to give props to OSU as well, just because, look, I know they only played 7 games this year, but they've hung in tough for the most part offensively. It's just defensively. Their defense had no answers for Harris or Smith. Like there were certain plays where it was like 3 to 4 guys had to tackle them down. And with that being said, Phil, what'd you think of the Natty?
Man, let me just tell you, like, there's some year. Look, like, there's been several years on YouTube Take that I even was very, very much wanting to believe that Bama wasn't as good as they were, right? Like, you know, me and Markeem have talked multiple times about the whole SEC, and even my Facebook was lighting with "Go Roll Tide," even though you're Gamecocks fans. But that's a whole nother rant for another day. We've had that rant multiple times. But Bama just looked, like, from what I had seen throughout the year, like, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, everybody, and what Markeem had told me and things that I had read, and it's just Bama was just special this year. And it's like, and you hear that a lot with Bama, so you're like, eh, whatever. Like, wait till Bama plays somebody, you know, somebody decent or whatever. This year they did, you know, SEC wasn't necessarily down like they had been in the past, but they weren't necessarily strong either. But who really was this year?
No, it was down. You can say it. It was down.
You say it was down? You say it was down?
Absolutely.
I thought it was kind of more in the middle than it has been in the past. Let's
break it down. Let's break it out real quick.
Bama, Florida, Georgia.
Look at what Florida did against Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma's defense has been bad all year, and they played elite defense against them. What's the name? Georgia barely won against Cincinnati. Not saying Cincinnati was bad, but we know Cincinnati hadn't been tested all year. You know what I mean? And Georgia, it's big, bad SEC. You know what I mean? You had to come back. You looked like you were going to lose that game. You know what I mean? You had to come back.
Goes to show you that, like, I'm just a big believer in any given Sunday, and like, or of course in college, any given Saturday. But, like, you know, I just feel like these conferences get, because money talks, and we all know that, but these conferences get all this love, and that was why all my passion with Coastal, all my passion with Cincinnati, like, teams like that, getting a shot, because Cincinnati proved they belonged against Georgia. I mean, yeah, Georgia ended up winning, but they proved they belong in the conversation, and I know Coastal ended up losing in overtime to Liberty, which is a game that should have never happened anyway, but I won't go on that rant again. So, like, I'm just saying, like, it's just something that, like, getting on the whole, like, big conference thing. Big conferences aren't as cracked up as they are.
My thing with the SEC is that it is not, this has always been my argument, always. It is perennially the best conference in all of America. But the level that it was back in, like, 2011, like 2010, 2009, it's not that anymore. Like, no, everyone around the country has caught up to them. The only team that's ahead of everyone is Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everyone's caught up to the SEC. It's not like it used to be where you see an SEC team and you pretty much book it, they're going to win. It's not. That's not the case anymore. It's
right.
Just not.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's what I'm getting back to the point that I was beginning to make, is that just Bama was just better than everybody this year. It's just, and I think that was clear against Ohio State last night. And so I just think that, like, you know, it's like I said, Bama was just clearly better. I kept telling, like, people said, well, Ohio State looks really good. I'm like, I know, but you got to remember, like, I was, even being an anti-Clemson fan, I was still very big on Clemson as far as, like, their talented team. It's usually Bama, Clemson, and then everybody else. But Clemson's defense was clearly not the same. And Ohio State was very motivated to play a team that beat them last year, by a thread in a sense because that game was close.
Can I talk about that game since I wasn't here for that too? But go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead. What I'm saying is I just felt like not to take anything away from Ohio State, but Ohio State hadn't played the schedule that anyone else has played this year, right? And they faced the one opponent they needed to face. They played the team that has motivated all season that they lost to. I mean, there was even reports that they had a video of the Clemson doing the confetti, like literally in their locker room or something. I can't exactly remember. So they were ready for Clemson. They wanted Clemson. Who did they get? Clemson. So I think they were prepared for that game. Justin Fields played the game of his life. Like had that been the natty and he hadn't finished, honestly, Fields' stock would have been the highest it ever would have been. Like, obviously, now the Bama game maybe because his stock back to where it was, but that was his breakout game, and I think people were just a little too much on that and thinking, okay, well, they're going to hang with Bama, and I'm like, I just don't think Bama's just special. They, from what everything I heard and everything that I've seen, from them, I just don't think they can hang with Bama, and that's what happened. They couldn't hang with them. Devontae Smith is amazing. I would die if he was drafted as a Patriot. It's not going to happen, so I'm already going in thinking no chance. So if it happens, I'd be, running to my house. But don't think it's going to happen. I think he'll get picked probably even earlier now, especially after that game. Hopefully he's okay with his hand. He says he was. So, but, yeah, and another point about that, like I said, nothing much to talk about the game. Fields is still Fields. I don't trust him. You can go ahead and draft him. I'm sorry. Maybe that's a hater in me. I don't know. But I just don't trust Ohio State quarterback, and I don't trust Justin Fields. I think if Justin Fields goes to a team, I think he would be a perfect scenario where it was like a Mahomes who went to a Chiefs. If he could go to a team like that, but he's not going to go to a team like that. He's going to go to New York where he's going to rot, and then they're going to rebrand 3 years from now, which is what the Jets are stuck in doing all the time. Danny's not going to like that, but it's just the truth. Until you prove me differently, that's exactly what the Jets are. So that's what's going to happen with him. Unless they go Jack. They might go Zach Wilson. I don't know. But I'm just saying in retrospect. So, yeah, I think Bama was clearly the better team. The only thing I will say, I don't understand the Waddle game. I don't understand why he played. When you're having pro athletes tweet about the fact that he shouldn't be on the field, this is exactly what this is my argument for those that didn't see me go off on Twitter when Justin Fields got hurt. It's there was no reason for Justin Fields to come back before the end of the end of that first half against Clemson. Rest him, let him come back in the second half. No, but because you let the players sometimes run the system, you let the players run the asylum, it's Justin Fields should have been sat, then bring him back, and you beat Clemson. You were clearly the better team all night against Clemson at that point. I will still stand by that. Justin Fields should have taken, and it's he clearly, even in this game, was still hurt. I don't know. I just think with bringing Waddle out there.
The Waddle thing, though, I can, all right, let me defend Nick Saban real quick, because the way he used him was genius. He never put him in positions, though, minus that one play where he got lit up, but he never put him in a position to where he was catching the ball across the field. Nothing like that. He was a decoy. And you right. know what? If he wanted to go out there and just be a decoy, that's fine. That's fine.
Whatever. There's definitely two sides to that argument, Marquis. I'm not disagreeing with that.
But if he was catching crossing routes over the middle and shit, that I'd be right with you. What are you doing? But no, he had him out there as a decoy. It was fine.
Right. So I just think
minus that one play.
And that's my argument. And that was my argument with Fields. It's all it takes is one more hit, and then that guy never plays football again. So it's that's just how I mean, not never plays again, but is never the same again. I mean, you look at Tua. You even said this year, you could see him being he's a different quarterback than he was before he got hurt. So that was my point. Obviously, there's still gonna be stars, and they're still gonna get drafted. Excuse me, but I just think that I don't know. I look at it as a bigger. The world is bigger than football, and so I look at it as this kid's future is on the line. But it, like you said, at least he was protected in that sense. But
something I wanted to bring up quickly was just on another note was Joel Klatt's way too early top 10. I wanted to see what you guys thought, not about the whole top 10, but just the top 5. He had Clemson at 5, Ohio State at 4. Yeah, for next season, he did a way too early bracket at 11:30 last night. Where he had
save that. Let Marquis talk about the game first, and then save that.
Okay.
Talk about that. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna rewind a bit. We'll talk about the Heisman because I wasn't here for that.
All right. Cool.
Obviously the semifinals and then the national championship a little bit. Wright man won the Heisman. I was a little concerned. I thought they would end up. As I was watching the whole presentation, I was like, "They're gonna give it to Mac Jones, aren't they?" Because like, did you see his profile when it made it seem like he was Jesus?
I'm like, no, I did. I missed that.
I was like, "They're giving it to Mac Jones," but not the right man won. The vote was surprisingly not as close as I thought it'd be. Like I thought, like he won pretty comfortably. I was kind of shocked by that. So the right guy won. The semifinals pretty much went like how I thought it would, because I thought one of two things would happen. With that, we all knew Bama was gonna kill Notre Dame. Let's not even talk about that.
Yeah, the poses.
Here's the thing, Phil. Ian Book is not good. Like, that team around him, a lot of those dudes are going to be gone early in the draft, but he's not good. It's like those old LSU teams where they had Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and all these other talented motherfuckers, but, like, you had, I don't even remember.
Zach Mettenberg.
Yeah, Zach Mettenberger and shit, like, throwing the ball, you know what I mean? So I think, like, Ian Book was pretty much Zach Mettenberger. You know what I mean? Like, if he was better, I feel like that team would be able to, because we saw Alabama's defense is not like insane. You know what I mean? Like, you could pick on them. You know what I mean? You put points up on them. And if he could have just, I don't know, they wouldn't have won. But if he was serviceable, you know, he's probably gonna go like first two rounds of the draft for some dumbass reason. Whatever, that boy terrible.
But my point is, Markeem, Notre Dame constantly gets overrated. Like, when are we going to finally realize that they're not? They never hold up to their name. They just never do.
The Dallas Cowboys of college football.
The problem is they end up winning enough, so we can't just like write them.
Yeah, they beat a hurt Clemson, and so then they got to win. Had they got killed, they would have never been in. They would have never been in if Trevor Lawrence plays. They're never in.
But they do stuff like that every year, and that's why they're always in the conversation. They always win a game.
It's annoying, guys.
That we think they're supposed to lose or get killed in, and they end up winning, and they end up back in the conversation. It happens all the time. That's why we can't just get rid of them. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. And then it's the lineage, man. That does mean something. It shouldn't, but it does. I mean, because next to Bama, if you look at the history of college football, that's the most storied school in all of college football. Like, period. And it's probably not even all that close, unfortunately. But what was I saying? Yeah. The Clemson and Ohio State game. I was not shocked that Justin Fields had the game he had. What I was shocked was, and no one's talking about this, Trevor Lawrence was a no-show. Like, you played a team that had been picked on all year. Like, you know what I mean? Their defense been picked on all year. You know what I mean? Like, I had to defend the defense to Big Rat. You know what I mean? Because people put up big plays on them all year, over the top all year. And Trevor Lawrence did none of that. You know what I mean? Why are we not talking about
how... To Lawrence's credit, not to defend him, but he did not have his offensive coordinator. And Dabo apparently does not call plays as well as his offensive coordinator.
Look, that's fine. That's fine. But let me let you in on a little secret. Who was the offensive coordinator at Stanford when Andrew Luck was there? I can't remember his name. It's something Hamilton. I can't remember.
I'll look
the
it up.
The point is, no one remembers because Andrew Luck was out there audibling and calling the plays.
Right.
If you're supposed to be that type of prospect, who is Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator in Tennessee? We don't bring that up.
Pep Hamilton.
You don't know and you don't care. That is true. That's a good point. That's an amazing point.
When you're a prospect and you're being compared to guys like that in college, Peyton Manning was unlike any college quarterback I ever saw. You know what I mean? And then Andrew Luck came along and it was like the same shit. You know what I mean? But if he's supposed to be that guy, it doesn't matter who's the offensive coordinator. You know what you have around you. Yeah, I mean, you answer the bell. Justin Fields is lighting y'all up. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're looking at the 1999 Florida State Seminoles. Yeah, I mean, this Ohio State team. Yeah, I mean, that was like middle of the pack and pass defense all year. Tear them up. You're Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be that guy. Yeah, I was. Nobody brought that up, though.
Do you think? would you lower his stock some? Like, obviously, he's
one. But. No, I still think he's number one. But, like, well, right, I told y'all on this show that I wasn't 100% sold on him being that. I said that. I
mean, you don't think he's luck Peyton Manning prospect anymore?
No, I never felt that way.
You never felt that way.
I told y'all that. Right. I never felt it. But, and he's going to go number one, more power to him, and, you know, he'd probably be pretty good, but I thought it was weird no one brought that up. Justin Fields is kind of weird because, like, he's capable of this. We've seen he's capable of this. Now, the thing that I think makes it a little bit different, I think this, because people always question his mental toughness, and I think that's out the window. Because, like, this is a team who was, like, the boogeyman to him, you know what I mean? And he lit them up, you know what I'm saying? His problem is that he doesn't always consistently make the best football play. And I don't think that's like a macho bravado type, you know, he wilts under the moment. I'm like, nah, he just sometimes makes a bad decision with the ball. He sometimes doesn't take what's in front of him and tries to get more. Things like that. That's his problem. I don't think it has anything to do with the cliches everybody likes to get into. And I think that game proved that more than anything else. But, it was shocking what they did. Shocking that Trevor Lawrence had nothing for that. But the national championship game is interesting to me because I feel like we need to modify our stance. Like, Ohio State, Clemson, you want to throw Oklahoma in there. You want to throw whoever you want, Oregon, whoever you want to throw in there. It's fine. These are all teams that are usually at the top of college football. But there's really only one true king, and that's Bama. Let me do something for y'all real quick. All right, let me do something y'all real quick. Hold on, let me go back to where I was at. Because I was looking this up. Talk about yourselves real quick. Nick?
No, he's right. Bama's king. But the one thing, too, I feel like that goes unnoticed with Clemson is that how bad their offensive line played. Not just Trevor Lawrence. That offensive line got eaten up by that Ohio State defense. Because I said this before on the show that defense had to be big if they wanted a chance at beating Clemson. And what happened? That defense came up big. The other thing I want to say, because you brought up Oklahoma. Oklahoma had their...
About to do this. Hold on. All
right.
Hold that thought, Griff.
Okay.
Okay. Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Nick Saban has been a college football coach, head coach, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. For 24 years, okay? Nick Saban has been a college football head coach, okay? We're going to throw out his Michigan State years because the first few, he was put in a situation where he wasn't even supposed to be the head coach right away. He was supposed to be an interim, but shit happened, okay? Let's throw those out. But in 99, he started to turn it around, but we're not going to get into that. He comes to LSU in 2000. LSU, a team with no lineage at all. You know what LSU is now? Everyone thinks they're a powerhouse. You know what I mean? They were never a powerhouse until he got there. The reason why people look at them that way is because of Nick Saban. You know what I mean? His second year there, he wins 10 games and goes to the Sugar Bowl and dominates it and wins it. The next year, they come back to earth a little bit. You know what I mean? And then after that, he wins 13 games in the national championship. You know what I mean? Then he loses the Capital One Bowl and then he goes to the NFL for a while, whatever. His time at Bama, right? His time at Bama. The first year was embarrassing because he was fixing what's Don Shula's son? That boy, Mike Shula, fixing his debacle that he left behind. Then they win 12 games and everybody's like, how good can Bama be? And then from 2009, I want y'all to dig this, right? 2009, 14 to before that LSU team. This is the greatest college team I ever saw. 2009 Alabama. Well, one of them, not the best, but like the best modern team. You know what I mean? So 2009, they go 14-0, win the championship. Then the next season, they have a down year because they get upset by Carolina. I know you remember that game, Phil. And then they lose two more after that. I think it was like week three. They lost to Carolina and they lost two more. And season was just awry. And they go 10-3. Then the next year, national championship win, 12-1. The year after that, national championship win, 12-1. The year after that, New Year's Bowl, 11-2, lost the Sugar Bowl. Then the year after that, 12-2, loses the Sugar Bowl, but 12-win season. Then national championship. Then play for a national championship. Then another national championship. Then play for another national championship. Citrus Bowl, wins a national championship. This motherfucker has been at Bama for 11 years and has won 6 national championships. Think about that. He has been dominated by, I'm not counting 07 and 08. Let's throw those out. Let's just talk about 09 to 2020. Let's talk about that 11-year stretch. 6 national championships. 7 in all. This is not only, in my opinion, the greatest college football coach of all time. We really have to start talking about, is he the greatest coach in the history of American team sports?
I saw that argument.
We can't forget
what he did in Miami, Markeem. You can't forget that.
I don't really give a damn. Like, dude, like, y'all know how recruiting is in college football, where it's not like back in the day where there was one or two really sought-after recruits, and if you got one of those, you're going to win a championship. Like, let's call it what it is. The old-timers can say that back in their day, the game was better, and I hear this a lot in the NBA, too, but it doesn't matter. Athletes are better now. There are more 4- and 5-star recruits than there have ever been before, and somehow he gets 80% of them. 80% of his team are 4- and 5-star recruits. That ratio is like 20. Like, the next team is like Clemson, and they're like at 60-something. I think this year was 83% of that team were 4- and 5-star recruits. Like, that's insane. That is unprecedented.
But look at, like, you just went down the lineage of, like, 6 titles in 11 years, and it's like, if you're a 4- or 5-star recruit and you get recruited by Alabama, why would you not choose them?
Exactly. Like, so.
Can I cut you guys off for a second?
Where's that?
Yeah. What?
I saw a tweet earlier today from Pat Dowd, who is a reporter for Touchdown Alabama magazine. Every single Nick Saban recruit that has come to Alabama has won a national championship. Yes, each player would have to have stayed multiple seasons, but that's a crazy fact nonetheless. Essentially, if a recruit fully commits to Alabama, you're basically guaranteed a championship.
Yeah, and when you're a kid coming out of high school, that's all you care about.
Like back in the day,
and you're gonna get drafted too. You're getting drafted.
When Bear Bryant was winning these titles, and to me, Bear Bryant was always the standard, because Bear Bryant is the reason why modern recruiting is what it is today. I mean, he was the first dude to really go out and recruit people. Before, kids were just deciding to go where they wanted to go. Bear Bryant was going out and getting people, you know what I mean? And then later on, he decided to get the black people and all that. We'll get into that later. But in that era, it was like Bama, Ohio State, and like, occasionally Oklahoma. Notre Dame was like in one of their little dry spots, you know what I mean, when he first got settled into to Bama, you know what I mean? But it was like them in Ohio State and like occasionally Syracuse and things like that. But like, there are so many schools now. Like, we just talked about Ohio State and fucking Clemson and all these other schools. But he is, the stranglehold he has, it's like a notch above all of them. And think about it this way. We just talked about Devontae Smith. Do y'all know he's from Texas? And back in the day,
you ain't stealing that from Texas.
He would be playing football in Texas right now. Najee Harris is from California. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Najee was committed to Michigan and left Michigan.
What you say?
I'm pretty sure Najee Harris was committed to go to Michigan, play for the Wolverines, and then he decommitted to go to Alabama.
And back in the day, like, he would have been at SC. You know what I mean? Like, Nick Saban has changed the game. Yeah. Like before, SC and Texas and Miami, I'm sorry, kid, Florida State and Florida, they would all have, like, maybe a dry spot, but, like, they'll get a recruit and they'll get something and they'll be back in the national championship. Nick Saban has changed all of that. SC has been down since, like Lane Kiffin, and they have not been back. You know what I mean? Texas has not been back since Mac Brown. And a lot of this has to do with Nick Saban. You know what I mean? He's like Michael Jordan in the 90s. He's going around just killing.
Like,
we really have to start talking about it.
Like, one thing,
is he the greatest coach in all of team sport? Is he?
He's definitely up there. I'm just looking at the roster too. Like, Slade Bolden's from Louisiana, Waddle's from Texas. Interesting fact: John Mechie is from my neck of the woods, up in Canada. He lived here for a bit before going down to the States to play. Mac Jones is Florida. I'm just trying to figure out though.
Could you imagine in 1999 Mac Jones being from Florida and saying I'm going to Alabama?
No,
they would have rocked the world.
He would have been playing for the Gators or the Seminoles right now.
It's crazy.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about quickly before we move on is, out of all the Bama quarterbacks, who's their quarterback for next year? Like, or who do you like? You like the most for that position?
I think it's too early to say. Because, yeah. Truth be told, are you convinced Mac Jones is going to stay and be a senior, be a redshirt senior, and just play? I'm not convinced he doesn't do that.
It might be smart to do it
if he feels like his draft stock could be higher next year.
There's all those awkward arguments. So we saw it with Matt Leiner. Like, people were skeptical about Justin Herbert for staying. Like, I feel like if he was the solidified number one, yeah, go out of school. But if there's those crippling doubts and hey, let's run it back, because you don't know what the rest of the SEC is going to be like, because Florida may not be that best. We'll see about Georgia. That's why I wanted to bring up that Joel Klatt thing, because he had Georgia at number one, which, by the way, I think Kirby Smart's a very not the bit of an overrated head coach. I think 2017 is kind of an anomaly now, besides their defense. But it's a very intriguing question of a what if with Mac. What?
I can't say you're wrong, but I don't want to go that far.
Okay. No, it's just something I've always seen. People saying, I know Kirby Smart's a Nick Saban disciple, but Georgia really hasn't been the same since that whole thing. And the other thing I was going to say earlier, too, I think the Cotton Bowl was a coming out party for Oklahoma for the 2021 season, to basically say, hey, look, the Big 12's here. Oklahoma's obviously always a powerhouse, but I think...
screw the Big 12. I don't want to hear that. Oklahoma does look good. I agree with you on that. Yeah. But I don't want to hear... I've heard too much about the pesky Big 12.
Well, Phil, they can't play fucking defense in the Big 12. That's why. In the Pac-12 is just...
See, I hate both of you. Okay, because this year, I agree with you, Phil. I don't think that conference was that strong this year.
No.
But in the past, they have been good. But people go, man, those teams just put up a lot of points. No, they just play they play football like the Golden State Warriors. That's all. It's just a lot of possessions. And then bowl season will roll around and they'll do well. And I'm like, I try to tell y'all this. You know what I mean? This conference is good.
The only way I shit on it though is just because I remember having this conversation with my mom right before the Peach Bowl last year, LSU Oklahoma. She was like, who's going to win? And I was like, LSU. I'm like, Oklahoma doesn't have a chance. I predicted that they were going to get their asses kicked in that game. And what happened? I think it was 63-28.
Yeah.
What, Jefferson have four touchdowns before the half?
I'll say this. I'd have put Oklahoma in over Notre Dame. Because I knew Notre Dame was going to lay an egg. Oklahoma might have laid the egg too, because Bama's just Bama this year. But still. Dude. Oh, also, Markeem, what are your thoughts on Bill O'Brien to Alabama?
What?
Bill O'Brien's going to be the new offensive coordinator.
Oh, he's replacing Sark?
Yep.
Well, come get another ride. I didn't even know that. When did they announce that?
Is it official yet?
It's not official. I saw the report come out, last night.
Most people are saying it's official, but it's not,
Adam Schefter. I'm Bill O'Brien. And by the way, Texas hiring Steve Sarkisian is complete desperation.
Oh.
That dude... How many times he has to show you he cannot be a head coach?
Why did they fire Tom Herman in the first place? That's what I want to know.
He was at USC. He was at Washington. Both times it was a failure. Yeah.
Wasn't he accused of being an alcoholic when he was at USC?
Yeah. He came to games drunk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's why they had to bring Clay Helton to kind of clean that fire up. And USC has a little bit, but they're not really still. USC really hasn't been that good since the whole... They got stripped of everything.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Well, I meant too when they got all stripped of everything, when they got in trouble with when Reggie Bush got his Heisman taken away and stuff like that as well.
Well, also to be fair, Pete Carroll kind of just left him high and dry because he knew that shit was coming. So he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to the NFL, coach the Seahawks. Why not?"
He sure did. That is true.
Yeah. Why? I want Mark. Before we get to the NFL, I want to ask you though: why fire Herman if you're Texas?
Because they're at a point where their fan base is very ravenous for the old times. They want to be what they used to be. And I feel like Herman, at first when he first got there, those weren't his players. Okay, fine. He had a chance to recruit his players, and they were worse. So
didn't you kind of make a point of, are we at the point where it's not even, doesn't matter who you get, like, as long as Bama's still this powerhouse, these other teams are going to suffer?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get the best players in your state.
Like, Texas can't get to Alabama's level because Alabama exists.
Here's the thing. Like, I talk a lot of shit about Dabo Swinney, but this is facts. Like, he knows how to build that team because it's not like Bama where he's getting, like, 80% of his roster is, like, 4- or 5-star recruits. He's around, like, 60-ish and stuff like that. If you're Texas, if you're USC, if you're whoever, you can do that. I mean,
you can get
like,
that level, right?
Yeah,
right.
You can do that. So, like, if you're not at least, you know, you're in Texas with the resources they have, and you can't at least get to that level, come on. Like, you gotta, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, too. I was like, they should at least be the top team in the Big 12. There's no reason they can't get
there. Or at least consistently competing to be the top, you know what I mean?
Which is not what they're doing, right?
Not at all. Like, Oklahoma has been that conference. Like, my nephew is about to turn, 11 this year? And, like, well, he is 11. He's about to turn 12 this year. And Oklahoma's been the team. I remember, as a matter of fact, him being a baby and me watching them on New Year's Day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, Oklahoma again. Yeah, I mean, they've been the team in that conference. Like,
and when you're talking about the next best team in that conference being Iowa State and Texas is not even the second best. That is
exactly.
That's nothing against Iowa State, even though, you know, I was glad to see them take the L. But anyways, maybe they won the bowl game, but still. But yeah, like it's just not I remember watching the national championship, Texas and USC and Vince Young. Like that's doesn't seem that far ago, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's the last time Texas was even relevant.
Yeah, I mean after that, I mean, they fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And they have all the resources that all these other schools we mentioned have. So what's the excuse?
Yeah.
Maybe it is recruiting. Maybe it's they don't have the coach that – I mean, I just don't know. Like, are you – like, obviously, like, I mean, if you look at – Clemson was horrible. Like, Dabo had to take them from the pits of hell. Like, they really – like, he really did. And it's like – obviously, I'm a Gamecock fan, but, like, seeing how long that took – like, you have to be one in a win now. Even in college football, it's become more like either like your term is shorter, which is another coaching job that I heard about that I want to also before we go to NFL ask about because I don't see how it happened. But anyways, I'll just mention that. But yeah, so like you have like if you don't start showing signs, like you're not gonna make it. Like you gotta like. But that's why I'm always a big advocate in giving a young guy. Like I love the South Carolina hire of Beamer because it's like. Give a young guy a chance to build it. Like it's not a big name where it's like if he doesn't succeed in 3 or 4 years, you're gonna ax him because he didn't give you exactly what you wanted in record time. So I think
it's a good thing. Some time has passed between Spurrier. Like now expectations are where they should be for South Carolina.
Right. So the thing with South Carolina is just get back into bowl season. Like get there and then work from there. And it's like that's the thing with Clemson. Got to where they could win the ACC, and they weren't winning anything outside of that. And then they got to where they could win more than the ACC, and they could win national championships. And I think that's what Texas teams like that need to do. And speaking of another big school, how is Michigan re-signing Harbaugh?
I think they're scared. I think they're scared to go worse? I think they're too afraid to fall back into where they were with the end of Louis Carr and Rich
Rodriguez.
But
the thing is now, Marquis, they're not even in the conversation anymore. Like, at least Harbaugh was getting them in the conversation.
But now they're
not even in it, so how can you not expect it to get worse? It's not going to get better.
It's a sink or swim hire. And, like, an extension, excuse me.
They don't want to be the laughing stocks like they used to be.
I get that.
And at least for Harbaugh, I don't think they'll ever get that bad again, but, like, and like, do you see how much money they give him? Come on, man.
I see how much money, but yeah.
Come on, man. Like,
it's a lot.
It's way more. I can't remember the final number, but it's too much. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, who else is there for them to go out and grab unless they're going for a young coach? And they don't, they clearly don't want to do that. So it's just like, I mean, is there a big name out there that's not horrible? I mean, Urban Meyer, but he's not coming to Michigan. So
I know who I said.
Who you said?
They'd have the money. I mean, but, you know, well, they would have had the money. I don't know if they still have the money.
Right.
But he'll probably have in the NFL. I was going to say Matt Campbell at Iowa State. But
Iowa State, yeah.
He's going to end up, he's probably going to end up coaching the Jets or something.
Yeah. No, he's not. I think he announced.
Peterson goes there. But
I think Matt I think Campbell actually announced that he's staying at Iowa State.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. When was that?
I think like Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, okay, cool.
I missed that. But Campbell was.
Yep, I see it right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Campbell was a high pick for the Jets, and I seemed like that fizzled out, so that makes sense why it fizzled out, because he missed me staying. So.
Yeah. But it was Saturday.
The Big Ten, though, has a very interesting coaching dynamic. Like, there's a lot of strong coaches at all the schools. Like, obviously, I know Michigan hasn't been the best under Harbaugh, but he's still a very big name. Like, you have him, you have Paul Christ, you have, who's the guy at Minnesota?
I don't know.
God, if you didn't ask me that, I could have told you. But
I'm trying to think of who their coaches.
While we're speaking of coaches, too, I want to give a huge shout out to Coach of the Year, Jamie Chadwell, man. That's my boy. Go Shots.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out who.
This guy. Yeah, I got to throw it in there. Got to throw it in there. We're not going anywhere, is all I'm going to say. We're not going anywhere.
Oh, hold on. I don't want to look.
PJ Fleck.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like the Big Ten's got a lot of potential to be good unless you go to Purdue or Rutgers. We'll see what Penn State does next year, though. That's going to be very intriguing because they were bad this year. But let's get on to some NFL, boys.
Yeah, what was the five, the top five,
McGriff? Oh, yeah, let me reopen that.
I know you said Georgia was one, is what you said, right?
Yeah, which is kind of asinine if you ask me.
Kind of crazy, but Georgia won their buddy. They did. They beat Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah, they barely beat Cincinnati.
Should have lost.
Yeah, they should have lost. Cincinnati couldn't hold strong. I was kind of upset about that, but
let me pull it up.
After all the talk that I did.
His top five were, this is from 5-1, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, Clemson's going to be interesting next year to see how DJ plays. And then Spencer Rattler.
DJ, that's going
to
be
it. Yeah, and then Spencer Rattler, too, I think has the potential to be number one in 2022, but we'll see.
You lost Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my fellow, my cousin who's a Clemson fan. I was telling him, I was like, just so you, like, I project, like, Clemson to lose at least two games next year. Just because it's just, doesn't matter how good DJ is. He's not Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's not Deshaun Watson. I don't care. You can't keep expecting these quarterbacks to be these pop. Like, at some point, it's going to drop off a little bit.
But he's not Kelly Bryant.
Like, this isn't like Trevor Lawrence from Deshaun Watson, man. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think this dude is as good as either one of those dudes.
Dude, don't disrespect. Don't disrespect Kelly Bryant.
What?
Mizzou? Is this Mizzou? Are we talking about Mizzou now?
Nah, I'm just messing. I'm just messing. Yeah, nah. Next year for college football is going
to
be.
One thing I will say to end the college football talk, it is there was a lot of things still at the end of the season, and not to go off on a rant or anything again, but that are going to have long-lasting effects on the future of the college football playoff and the future of college football in general. When money cleared, like, I think there's a lot more eyes on it this year. There's going to be a lot of pressure going into the next season because you had a lot of, like, bent rules for Ohio State. Ohio State wouldn't even be there if rules weren't bent. And money was behind that. So, I mean, you can't deny that. There was a lot of people upset about that. And then, obviously, you cemented in the fact that it's a Power 5 playoff. So now everyone knows that, and so now teams are going to know that. And so it's going to be – I think that's going to set a precedent. Scheduling is going to be affected by that, and I think if I'm – I still think if I'm the G5, I say, hey, let's do our own playoff. I still say that, but we'll see how that unfolds in the future. But
we'll also see how everything goes with COVID.
Why not do that and have them – this is what I would do. Take the bottom seed of the college football playoff, whoever's the fourth seed, right? Have them play the winner of whatever the fuck the G5 does, and then see if they can get that last spot in the
right. Yeah.
Just my opinion.
Because I mean
that way I don't know how the semantics would work, but that would make everybody happy.
Because I don't necessarily think the answer is expanding the playoffs either. I just think the answer is respecting other teams. Like, if they get blown out, they get blown out. Like, but, like, if it's a true either announce, like, clearly you made your stand this year and it's not a true playoff. It's a who are the four best teams that will make us money to put them in. That's just the facts. So that's what it well, that's what you set it up to be. So if that's what you're going to set it up to be, you also need to have then the G5 needs to be able to do their thing, because you're clearly not going to care about them. It's just there's nothing a G5 is going. G5 can literally plan Alabama week one. They could beat Alabama week one, and because their schedule down the stretch is not the same, and Bama wins out and wins the SEC, who are they putting in? They're putting Bama in. Like, I mean, Bama's not a good example, but like. A top, I guess, pick another SEC team like A&M or something.
They better win out. That's all the chance they got.
but even then, Markeem, I think this year proves that they don't have a chance. Like if you were to beat Bama and you went Bama. Out, well, obviously they didn't beat Bama, but Bama's not a good team.
But I get
what you're saying. You see what I'm saying, though? I feel like there's those teams now know that they can schedule all they want. I mean, we scheduled BYU on 2 days' notice, and it didn't matter. So, I mean, it's just not obviously BYU, because in a sense, they look at BYU as, yeah, they may be ranked eighth, but they're BYU.
And the Mormons didn't want that smoke.
BYU, like you thought they did.
The Mormons didn't want that smoke.
Well, that smoke.
Yeah. Exactly. I just saw all those memes of, like, the players on Coastal who with, like, the mullets and stuff, and basically being like, yeah, BYU wasn't ready for this.
Oh, yeah, by the way. This might age badly, but I don't care. Zach Wilson and Justin Fields are just as good as one another. A lot of people making all these hot takes about either one of them.
Yeah, also,
they're both very good and a notch below Trevor Lawrence. Why are we doing this? But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I'm biased. And I'm not. I won't analyze Zach Wilson. I'm biased because I saw what I needed to see.
Oh my god.
I'm admittedly saying I'm biased until he proves me otherwise. I saw what I needed to see. I don't want to touch him.
Did you see him all season?
It mattered. When it mattered most, you talked about Trevor Lawrence.
People were saying Josh Allen was the top prospect of his QB class. And he probably, you know, he probably was. I don't know. But Zach Wilson has looked like a better quarterback than him in college. You know what I mean? Like he's been better than him.
And I'm not, Here. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's terrible. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he's not at the elite level to where I think he's still a project. I still think he's someone that's not going to go starting.
Yeah, I think him and Justin Fields are both projects.
Right, that's true. So let me, I guess I needed to digress because everybody's going to think that, oh, you think he's not a top prospect. I'm just saying he's not.
There's one quarterback in this draft that can start immediately. That's
Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence. And that's Lawrence, yeah.
That's why with Matt Schaub retiring, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Falcons to draft Wilson to play behind Matt Ryan maybe for a year or two.
I like that. I actually like that a lot.
Yeah. But we want to talk some more college, though? The only thing I want to say about college quickly before we move to the NFL is the Pac-12 is still the redheaded stepchild of the Power 5. Sorry, Alex Larson, but it's kind of true.
That's their own fault, though.
Yeah, it is.
They gotta win games that matter. You beat up on each other, and no team separates themselves. You're going to keep you end up put in that same box.
Yeah, UCLA is always bad. Colorado's a coaching carousel. Oregon's logo isn't an O. It's actually a zero for how many national championships they've won.
Come on, man. Come on.
You went there.
I'm sorry, a Husky once came on this podcast and told me that joke, Phil.
All right.
Well, anyway, guys, we got some wild card to talk about. You thought college was all? No, NFL is still going on, 6 games. Let's start off with what was, in my opinion, the game of the weekend, that being the Bills and the Colts, and do not trust analytics. Like, I am still mind blown. Like, anyone saying, oh, it was the Colts who played bad? No. Frank Wright going for it on fourth down when you could have taken the points before the half, I think is what ultimately cost them.
I can't
defend that decision. I'm with you on that. The 2-point conversion, though, I wasn't against that. I don't know if I would have did it.
Markeen, our boy Charlie said it better than I could, and I wish I could probably pull up the tweet, but I'm not. I'm just being lazy and not gonna pull it up. But Charlie said it the best, like. These analytics, like, there's only a certain point that stats and these, like, not even stats, but analytics are going to only get you so far. The point is to stay, Like, yeah, you play to win the game. I'm not saying that you never play to tie. That's not the – but you play to stay in the game too. And so I think a lot of these risks that are being taken, the risk is high reward, high risk. And it's like, why not do something that's more balanced? Whereas, okay, if they don't get it, guess what? Now you're having to score instead of having to – like, it's just like – now you're having to score more instead of just kick – like, now you have to go for it again. Whereas if you just hit the extra point – like, if you got a kicker that can't kick, you know, to save his life, that's another thing. But an extra point is such, even now, it's not as much of a gimme as it used to be. But it still should be a solid 1 point. And it's like, all you got to do is get a stop, come in, and have the defense, have your offense come in and score, and you tie it up. And then you just, it's just like I don't want to play for overtime. It's like you're thinking too far ahead of the game. It's what's going to... You're not even going to get to that point in the game if you're still analyzing something that
But my thing is, maybe Frank Reich felt like, I can live with that.
And that's fine.
I can live with that. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We can rationalize that one. The fourth down, I don't get that one. I'm not going to lie.
And there's logic behind all of it. I mean, I just think that my main point with the analytics thing is that I just think that some of these coaches are going way too far into it. Like, you definitely use them to your advantage. Use the percentages and stuff. I'm not saying don't use them at all. I'm just saying I think that it's clear that when you're starting risking and throwing up points, like, yeah, if you think you're not, like, I feel like it says, like, we know we're not, if we play normal, we're not going to beat them. But if we try things and make a risk, like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, I think there's a precedent that could set. It just depends.
Frank Reich, see, I trust his mind because I saw it when he was in Philly. I think that he had a better feel for that team than we did. I think that's why he caught that game the way he did. You know what I mean? Like I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because I feel like he's earned that.
He's earned that, right? And that makes sense. And I don't think, like, in the end, I mean, they had a chance to win. So,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like,
you know, but they got
there. If it was Doug Peterson, game would have been over if fucking...
The thing that I really want to talk about in that game before we analyze anything else about it is the fact that how can, over and over again, like, it never changes, right? But, like, over and over again, there is something that clearly me, from my couch, sitting on my chair, watching, can clearly see a call, right? But yet you have to go in your little screen, review it, and can't make the right call. What is going on? Like... To me, their only answer is you wanting to keep the game close. Right. Well, first of all, at first I was like, how's a Bills timeout cause a review? Thank you. Shout out to my friend Curtis who actually went back and watched it because I didn't care to go back and look at it. But apparently they did get the review in before the timeout. Like, the guy was running out to stop it. But still, how do you even let that play go? Like, that's an automatic review. It's a playoff game. It's clearly... a questionable call. Why isn't that an automatic review? And then
because it was that, past the 2 minute warning.
It don't matter. Whatever. That's not an excuse.
No, that's a rule though. Phil, that's a rule though. If a coach can challenge a play before the 2 minute warning, if it's after the 2 minute warning, the review has to come from upstairs.
Right. So, but it was after the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, it was like 30 seconds left in the game.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it should have been automatic.
Phil said it should have been on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It shouldn't even been hesitant. Like, apparently, they literally just did get it in before the Bills called timeout. Is what I'm saying. It shouldn't even been that close. It's clearly a turnover, questionable call, right? But then when you see it on TV, if we can see this on TV, there's no way you're going to tell me that they can't on their cameras. That it was a clear cut. Like, if it was close, that's one thing. You go with the call on the field. I totally understand those calls. This one wasn't close. It wasn't close. His hand was clearly not touching him when he got back up or when he was down. Like, he was clearly not touching. So how can they not see that? So, like I said, I'm not going to go off into conspiracy theories and anything like that. But you can't tell me the only logical answer to that, because I know those refs have eyes. Like, I have eyes if I can see it. So what is the only answer is, if we don't try to return this, the game, you know, if we don't...
Sky judge.
Yeah, if we don't overturn this, the game is closed, and we still get more, you know, views, this and that. Like, you can't tell me. I know that's I hate being that guy. Like, I really do. I don't want to be the guy that's, like, pointing at conspiracy theories and saying the NFL fixes their games. But people always had these arguments about Pats games and things like that. But, like, this is this is one I'm seeing. You know, this is one that I'm seeing that, like, there's no other explanation. Like, you can't tell me he couldn't see that it was clearly a fumble. Like, clearly the guy got back up. But you're not gonna, you know, it's like, obviously they're going to have their, you know, their technical term of explaining why it wasn't, you know, it wasn't clear. Like, the BS answer of it wasn't clear-cut evidence doesn't make sense. Because if I can see it, like, it's one thing, okay, a pass interference, like with the Saints, you know, the questionable Saints-Rams call, like, a pass interference could, in a sense, be called either way, right? I think we can all agree on that. But, like, that is just clear-cut. Like, he literally made a football move, stood up, and wasn't touched. So if you're looking to see if he was touched, okay, boom, it should be easy. He wasn't touched. He got back up, fumble. Like, yep. I just don't – that's just one of those calls, like, not to get too far into it or whatever and ramble about it, but it's just – that's one of those things that I don't get how they can review that, see that. One, take forever to review it. But then when they finally review it, they don't see what we see? Like, if we can see it, like, I don't understand where the question is of what they saw differently. We'll never get that answer, clearly. But I'm just saying, like, it just – because in a sense, had that cost the Bills the game, like, I would be furious as a Bills fan. And they would have way more merit than the Saints fans ever had. But, even though the Saints did have, you know, obviously pass interference, that was what it was. But in the end, it's like, game is over if the Bills get that. You know, it's like, so.
Here's the thing. Sky Judge can fix this all. The NFL will not put its resources into doing it. Sky Judge should have been implemented the second that the pass interference thing in New Orleans happened, because, look, Al Riveron's role goes unnoticed. Like, that's the reason why Dean Blandino left the league. Like, they know that the whole VP of officiating role is like a BS role that the NFL doesn't really want to offer or comply with. It's just ridiculous. With this game, though, like, if that rule just made no sense, but then also, too, like, how, oh, he called a timeout, but then he gets his timeout back. It's like, look, you got to do one or the other. And to the other thing, too, with this, the screen they're viewing it on, it's not like a 60-inch TV like Markeem or Phil or I are probably watching it on. I don't know how big y'all's TVs are, but I'm just saying, like
50.
Like 50, 50, 60, 50, 60 inches. They're viewing it on, like, basically an iPad. So what they're seeing is not what we're seeing. That's why Sky Judge could be a thing. Like, look, I like to consider this kind of conversation or like talks like this, no matter if you're getting paid, if you're at the top of the game for this, or if you're like us doing this for the hell of it because we love this game. But it's basically the conversation coming to life of 100 drunks in a bar. Like, what can we do to make this game better? And there are these little changes the NFL can do. Will they do them? Probably not. Meanwhile, with this game,
because they want games close. Like, yeah, it's just so obvious that that's what they want.
And this is
they
what my
want games to be close.
And this is what my
ending on a fumble.
And my biggest fears with this is the whole stuff with legalized gambling becoming more of a thing all across America. Like, is how big of an impact is that going to have on games and stuff? Because they realize, like, look at example Cleveland Baltimore, that thriller from about a month ago. That safety was the difference between millions of dollars being won and lost because of Baltimore covering the spread. So just something to think about. That legalized gambling thing should always be in the back of our minds. That, hey, I'm not saying the NFL is fixing games, and I pray to God that would never be a thing. But with legalized gambling becoming more and more of a thing, it's something the NFL looks at closely, I bet.
And that's the thing, though. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the NFL is trying to fix games. The NFL is just trying to keep games close. They don't care who wins. In the end, they don't care who it is, who's winning. They just want the game to be close, like, because they know people will stay. Like, the better the games, the better someone's going to tune in, right? Like, and so I just think that's what they're trying to keep it more as much entertaining, because they know the less entertaining games they have, the less people they're going to have watching. So I think that's their main goal. Like, money is all they care about. They don't care in the end who hosts the trophy or not. Like, because they're going to spend it their own way. Like, oh, Tom Brady's holding the trophy. Goodell hates him. Let's spend this. Like, you know, like, they're going to do whatever they got to do to spend it. So, but as far as, let's just talk about the actual teams now. The Bills look, like, Josh Allen, like, I'm telling you, like, so I wasn't on the podcast to make my bold prediction of the Bills versus the Bucks in the Super Bowl, and I'm still standing behind that after this weekend, because I think the Bills look really good. They look the best. Until I see somebody that looks better, the Bills look the best in the AFC. And granted, their defense is suspect. That's, like, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do against Baltimore, and then, of course, if they move on and play, you know, Kansas City or randomly Cleveland, which would be insane. But only coming out of 2020 would we see a Bills-Browns, like, AFC Championship game. That would be insane.
Insane. Crazy.
Like I said, like, my tweet was, like, guys, we literally just saw the Bills and Browns win playoff games in the same weekend in which the Patriots did not even
and
play.
And then the crazy part, the Browns beat the team that's been terrorizing them for, like, decades.
Yeah, and, I mean, and not just beat them, Marquise. Embarrassed them. Like, probably, literally.
They have to hire Ben Roethlisberger.
So I was going to say, literally to the point where you're talking about, is Big Ben done? Like is he, like, obviously I think the Steelers are just going to ride him out until he falls apart, but I mean, the argument can be made now, and that it's just crazy, and we'll get to that game later, but, like, yeah, but I will say this, man, Rivers, that Colts team has some promise. If I'm the Colts, I'd probably ride it out with Rivers. I think I'd re-sign him and just ride it out with him until maybe you can draft a rookie either this year or whatever, but that team's good, too. Like, I think they just happen to match up against the wrong. I think if they happened to play another team, they would have done better, but I just think they just play the hottest team right now.
They're a franchise QB away from being a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion, because they have a good defense. And look, Jonathan Taylor's looking like his Wisconsin self, in which I think raised not his stock, but his fantasy stock going into 2021 a lot with that playoff game. And also, too, like, Michael Pittman's a receiver that went very unnoticed this year. He had a bit of a slow start. And then, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's on YouTube. I've talked about it a bit because I follow him. Him and his now wife do that. And look, he announced on Thursday, which congrats to Michael and Kiana. They're having a baby. And he goes out there and balls. So, look, he's got all this announcement stuff. He's like, all right, I got to have a kid. I got to start balling. But, no, you got him. We don't know what T.Y. Hilton's going to do. Zach Pascal's a very good receiver. Jack Doyle's a good tight end. The offensive...
there's times when Jack Doyle looks like an amazing tight end.
Oh, yeah.
He was amazing in that game. Incredible.
He had a great game.
Yeah. That's the only thing I'm saying, though. That's why I think the Carson Wentz thing makes sense, just because of Frank Wright. And Chris Ballard, too, is not afraid to give that big move. Like, one thing that goes unnoticed is DeForest Buckner's on that team. And DeForest Buckner's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL right now.
That was a huge move for them. A huge move that paid off.
They could have had your boy, Phil, but they wanted Buckner.
Yeah, and I'll say this, man. I said what I said about Rivers, but I think if the price was right, it didn't cost them a lot. Wentz would not be a horrible play. That'd be a good play to get for them. I mean, that would be, you know, obviously I hope they make the wrong decisions because I hate the Colts, and every time the Colts lose, I'll be happy. But and everyone knows the reasons why behind that, yeah. So I don't have to state those. But
no.
But yeah, I mean,
still hate the Colts.
Yeah, no, yeah, karma's a you know what.
But it's never win again. It's been
6 years.
6 years.
I don't care. I'll never forget it.
With me, I don't hate them. It's one of those things, like, you know how a lot of people feel like with Cena? Like, look, I respect and I admire you, but I do, like, I'm not a fan of yours. That's how I feel about the Colts. Like, I respect the organization. Like, Chris Ballard has proven to me to be one ballsy GM in the NFL, but I'm not a Colts fan. I'm high on them, though. Like, I thought they were going to make the playoffs this year. I said that, like, a year ago. Or, actually, once I got Phillip Rivers, I'm like, yeah, they're making the playoffs. Markeem, do you have anything else to say about this game, or should we move on to what was the worst game of the weekend?
I mean, you know, you guys pretty much say everything you have to say about the Colts. You know, I'm high on the Bills. The way they give up points concerns me a bit, because, like, they give up, like, touchdown after touchdown. It seems like a cascade of them. You know what I mean? Too much like hero ball at the end. Like Josh Allen has to win it at the end. I don't know if that's sustainable, but you know, they're hot though.
I know they're hot, and I know this may sound biased, but if Saturday night they go out there and that defense shuts down that offense, that Baltimore offense, I will seriously put that stamp of, hey, look, this team can play for the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, no. If they go out there and they somehow contain that rushing attack and all that shit that Baltimore has going on. Why did I say Buffalo? We're talking about the business.
Well, because they're playing each other.
Baltimore has going on. Then yeah, I picked them to win the damn Super Bowl. I don't think that's gonna happen though.
Nah, same. I think they need another.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. So, man, the next game was brutal. LA got it done. Their defense showed up. And I have to say this, I know they just signed Schneider to that 7-year extension. The Seattle Seahawks have a lot to figure out this offseason if they want to stay relevant going forward. That is a take that I believe. look, they've been great. They had their Super Bowl. But part of me, too, and this may sound a little biased, but I think Phil may agree with me, they haven't been the same since the Patriots Super Bowl. Like, they haven't even made it back to a conference championship since.
They haven't been. And I think we all talk about teams that peak going into the playoff. We just talked about the Bills. That's the prime example of it this year, right?
Yeah.
The Seattle did the opposite. Seattle they peaked early in the year and then, straight down the tube. Like
New England last year.
They played a team that knows them and that is built on old school football. Aaron Donald is a monster, a literal monster. So that defense, to me, I don't know about the offense. I don't have faith in that Rams offense, but that Rams offense, while it looked amazing in their Super Bowl run, the defense is what got them there. I don't know. After seeing what I saw, obviously Seattle, I kind of want to see the Rams and how they play in this next game. Obviously, we're really going to see it. But I think the Rams proved that they could go on a run again because they have the ground game. If Goff can play decent, right? The whole problem was Goff started sucking, right? So if Goff can get back to what he was the year that they won the Super Bowl, could you really be surprised if the Rams went on a run? I feel like the team's built. They have the team. They have the pieces again. And so I think, and Sean McVay is, now that they've, he's gone through the being exposed for being great and then, having to work through that and get back to where he was.
Can I cut you off, Phil, for a sec?
What'd you say?
I just want to cut you off for a second because there's something I want to say about Sean McVay. Not only with coaching is it about coaching your players well, but it's going out there and finding the right coaches to coach your team. Because what Brandon Staley has done with this defense is remarkable. Brandon Staley, honestly, he was with Vic Fangio when Fangio was the DC on the Bears, and then Fangio brought him to Denver, and McVay didn't have to take a chance on him. He did. And look, Brandon Staley probably be a head coach in the league in the next few years. So that's just one thing I got to say. Look, for all the stuff that McVay had to fight through, he is truly one of those genius coaches that's going to be in the league for the next at least 30 years.
I just think it took some years to learn from his mistakes and things like that. And I think, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll get to that game.
To quote Chumbawamba, you got to get knocked down to get back up again.
I was very impressed.
Hold on.
What?
No. We're not going to let Griff pull a one-hit wonder.
Did he just Chumbawamba?
Yeah, I just used Chumbawamba. Yeah.
Crazy things happen on this, podcast.
Should we call this Chumbawamba or get knocked down to get back up again?
Chumbawamba.
I'm calling the podcast Chumbawamba.
Oh, my God.
If ifs and buts are candies and nuts.
Yeah, I was about to say,
well, we know the title of this podcast now.
No. That's a one-hit wonder, Phil. I know, I just meant...
Not mine. I'm talking about yours.
Oh, I know Chumbawamba's a one-hit wonder, but I'm saying... Your line of that was just so natural and so random that it just threw everyone the hell off.
That was classic.
Yeah. But no, what we were saying earlier, though, for as good as, LA has been, and, also, too, if you look at the record, minus the game last year where Zuerlein missed that field goal and week 16, the Rams have had the Seahawks number. But the thing now is, too, like I said, is how Seattle handles this going forward because, look, Jamal Adams... Not the best season. Ott's also a player, too, I could care less about. I know he's great. It's just I kind of don't like him from his Jet days and also to how cocky he played New England. But, with the Cardinals coming up and the Niners being who knows.
He did not play well at all this season. No,
he was not worth two firsts.
No, the Jets got the better end of that deal.
Yeah. But Seattle, I think, and I want to get Markeem's opinions on this. What do they, they have to do a lot to stay relevant or quickly. I wouldn't be shocked if they took a fall next year and missed the playoffs. Is that too crazy to say?
It seems like every team in that division is getting a bit better, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be the most surprising thing in the world. I don't know, man. I think Russell Wilson gets you 10 wins.
Yeah, I think so too. I think as long as and DK Metcalf is still an unreal player. I just don't know.
He's one of those dudes like Mahomes, like Rodgers.
He gets you
to playoffs.
And Seattle is very clear what you need to work on. And if you draft any weapons, you're an idiot. Like defense is clearly what you need to work on. I don't even know where I would pinpoint it. Probably cornerbacks for sure. Maybe D-line. I don't know.
I would say the trenches in general. Like,
right. Yeah.
Sure up both lines and then let everything up come. You know what I mean?
Like, Seattle's needs
Cause,
that.
Because that's what they lose. They lose the battle at the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of times, Wilson's running for his life. You know what I mean?
Running for his life, exactly. No, that's a great point. And I think that Seattle needs to go back. Like, obviously, they're never going to be the Legion of Boom again. But, like, they just, like, that were known for their defense, and Russell didn't have to do everything. Now Russell's having to do everything. And so, of course, he's going to have games like he had against the Rams where he just wasn't a good game because he's having to do everything.
That's why his MVP stock went so down. Like, because look at the beginning of the year. He had to do so much to bail his defense out, and then he was doing too much to where he was making costly plays and throwing interceptions. And then all of a sudden, his plays started to regress, but then the defense started to go up. So that's why everyone thought, hey, this is a team that could potentially go on a run. I said it that, look, Seattle's a team I could potentially see going to the Super Bowl, but if we look at their schedule, remember, this is a team that lost to Colt McCoy at quarterback, speaking of Texas from earlier, and their schedule for the last 6 weeks of the season was incredibly easy. Like, they had the Eagles, sorry, Markeem, the football team, then they had the Jets, and then they also had the Niners, who the Niners next year, if they're healthy, they're in the playoffs. Like, I'm sorry, but with this 7-team format, there honestly is a very good chance that if all four teams are playing well, all four teams could be in the playoff. I am not afraid to admit that as a quasi-Cardinal fan.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I just think Seattle needs to work on. I mean, like Markeem said, 10 wins, you're going to get it with Russell Wilson. But in the end, it's going to be your fault if you think all you need is Russell Wilson. Like, I think that's what we've said about you can't only have Tom Brady. You can't only have Patrick Mahomes. You've got to have something else. You've got to have a full team. Like, you just have to. And so I think when you put all the pressure on that quarterback, I mean, yeah, sometimes he shines and looks like unbeatable, right? You could say Russell Wilson did that this year. But then other times, he's having to do so much that he looks horrible. Because,
exactly.
You know, not horrible, but he looks like...
He looked bad a couple games, man.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. That pick six, like, that's not Russell Wilson throw. Like, that's not something he would... But he had to force it because he's throwing it, he's forcing it to DK because he knows he needs points. And so instead of doing his thing and being able to relax because he knows his defense isn't going to give up a touchdown every drive, he can relax and do what he does and be special. You know, if Mahomes was having to score every drive, which, I mean, last season he did have to do a lot of that, but eventually that's going to catch up to him. And so I think, like, you know, it's like his defense did have to step up for him. And so I'm using that same example here, is his defense has to be at least decent. Like, it's not even, you can make arguments, it's not even decent. I mean, we lit him up. I mean, that was early in the year, but we lit that defense up and picked Cam Newton, and he made Cam Newton look like he could actually pass. I mean, you know. So.
Yeah. Moving on to the next game, which was a surprise to a lot of people, but the Bucs and the football team. I got a text from someone saying, hey, Taylor Heinicke should start for the football team next year, and I was like, I saw someone actually texted me that, saying that Heinicke should start. My opinion on it is, don't start him right away, but he's going to have a spot to compete for in camp.
He played amazing. At the beginning of that game, you could say that, like, the receivers, if they catch balls, they're leading that game. So, I mean, I think he played amazing. I think Heinicke played amazing.
Would you start him next season, though?
No, but he's a reliable backup.
What do you have with Alex Smith? Like, you got to know what you have with Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith's probably the safer start, like, for sure. I think he belongs in the conversation. I mean, I don't think he's a guaranteed start, Markeem.
I'm going quarterback hunting this offseason.
Well, that's also true. Maybe the answer is probably not in the locker room, to be fair. But if you wanted to wait another year, put him in and see what he can do. I mean, you know, I think that Washington team has so much promise. That defense is I think Rivera's building something special. He's just, if he can get it all put together.
They got to shore up that DBs, though, because their DBs were getting burned a lot. I know it's the Bucs, and the Bucs have weapons, but if they can...
That's what I was about to say. Like, everyone's getting burned by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was about to say, everybody is. I mean, like, you can't cover everybody, and it still sickens me that Antonio Brown's on roster.
Yeah, I was about to say, they got Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and...
Chris Godwin.
And God.
Yeah, you know, God. Like, yeah, God's a tight end. Like, what? Like, I mean... It's just like, what are they like? And so that's when it's even more exposed. Like, if you can't win with this team, like, you
definitely their weak point. But still, like, and their offensive line sometimes looks good, sometimes doesn't. Their offensive line played well. Like, one thing you got, one negative against Washington is Chase Young didn't get a sack. I mean, Chase Young, you know, talked a lot of smack against the GOAT, and, well, the GOAT came out on top in that, in this regard. But I still like Chase Young. I mean, that's not knocking. I think, GOAT, you know, you're a young player. You know, I don't hate what he said. That's not what I'm getting at either. But I just think, you know, it's like, Chase Young has so, like, that dude's a piece. Like, and I just think that, I guess what I'm getting at is, against that Bucks line that has been kind of questionable, I just expected a little more out of it.
The thing I'll say about that, okay, Markeem, I'll let you go.
They did double team. They did double team him a lot. I was about to say, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I didn't mention that. But they, you know, which they're going to do. Like, you should do that.
Yeah. I will say this, though, about, with Washington, though, they also were very aggressive defensively and tried playing man coverage. And if you play man coverage against Tom Brady, you're going to get burned quickly. Trust me.
If you can't get to him, any good quarterback's going to eat you up. Just cover man and you can't get to him. Especially with their receivers. Come on, man.
Yeah. Like, even to.
How did they do that?
Because here's the thing, though, where I will say this, like, for X-Factor, because that's another thing. We don't have to talk about the games. I want to say an X-Factor quickly, because obviously this Sunday we're getting a matchup that a lot of people have been wanting to see in a playoff game. I preferably rather see it in February, but we have Brady and Breeze. If that Tampa offensive line plays like crap, there is no way they're going to beat the Saints. That's all I'm going to say. If that offensive line, though, can handle, like, Cam Jordan, if Trey Hendrickson plays, and other guys like that, like Onyemata, it's going to be a long night for the Saints defense. But if they get to Brady, like, Phil, we saw it firsthand, the 2015 AFC Championship game. You get to Tom, you're going to beat him. You give him all the time in the world, guess what? He's going to burn you, and he's going to win. Even at 43.
Like Markeem said, you give a great quarterback time, he's going to light you up.
But, yeah.
Like, if you don't get to him, like, the key, like, it sounds so simple when you talk about it, which is obviously not that easy, because if it was, everyone would do it. But it's like, get pressure on these quarterbacks. You have to make them win the game with someone face, like, with your defense all in his face. Like, if he wins the game, then you can say, well, look, I did everything we could to disgrunt. He just was great.
Yeah.
But if you can get to him without
blitzing, you have a good chance.
Right, without blitzing, I was about to say too, Markeem. You can't, because you blitz, like, he can throw it quick. I mean, that's Brady's forte. So, I mean, like, that's. And I think that's a good thing. Like, but the hardest.
Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time against the blitz. Yeah, man. Like the way he processes the blitz, it's insane. Yeah, you know what I mean.
And so it's
that's why you know him losing to the Giants both times he did was so spectacular, because they were able to get to him without blitzing.
They got you, and that was all they like. You do that, it gives yourself a chance. You have an offense that can, you know, so, you know, obviously the Saints have that. And I know we're kind of previewing that game more than we're talking about the other game. But, like, it's another thing I'll make a point about. It's not easy beating a team three times. It just isn't. So, that's a very interesting matchup. I don't honestly know what I feel. I mean, obviously I have my Bucks, or not my Bucks. My pick is.
Don't say that.
That is not what I meant to say. I meant to say my pick was the Bucks. Oh God, I did it. They're not my Bucks. I'm not a Bucks fan. I promise. Obviously, I still love Brady, but no, like my pick was the Bucks. But I still look at that matchup and I'm like, it could literally go either way.
I was this close to muting you, Phil, for that my Bucks comment.
I'm sorry. That's not what I meant to say.
One question before we move to Sunday, and I want Markeem's perspective more than Phil. Sorry, just because this is an NFC East question. With the right quarterback, is Washington the best team in the NFC East? Or with a healthy Dak, do you give the...
Yeah, I can't go that far. I still think it's the Cowboys. If Dak was healthy, everyone was healthy. I still think it's them,
Who hired... which some people did. Actually, because that's another point I want to bring up quickly. We didn't talk about yet. But they hired Dan Quinn today as their defensive coordinator. I'm going to say this. I like the hire. Dan Quinn was obviously the orchestrator of those great Seattle defenses that won a Super Bowl. So it's a lot better, obviously, than Mike Nolan. But I like the hire for Dallas. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree. I think I like it, too. I still think the hat, I mean, we obviously didn't get a full season with Dak, so we'll see. I still think the jury is out on Mike McCarthy.
No. That defense was that defense for me was done after they got burned by the Cardinals in that first Dakless game, when the Cardinals whooped them on primetime. That's where I was kind of like out on their defense, and also too the fact that they got blown out by Washington on Thanksgiving.
About the NFC East in general, I think the Giants show promise. I think if you know they can get the right pieces and stuff, they're on the up.
Yeah, the only team that looks like a favorite is the Eagles.
It's the Eagles.
Right? Yeah, the Eagles look like the worst team in the division.
But they are also the last team in the division to win a Super Bowl. So yeah. It's catch 2020, I guess, is how you look at it.
The big thing for me with the Giants, though, is they just have to shore up they have to do the same thing Seattle has to do. They have to shore up their lines, because their offensive line's always been suspect. Like, get Saquon back and healthy, and if Evan Ingram, you know what, can find his hands, they have the potential.
And I still think Daniel Jones has to use his brain, man. Like the talent is there. It is there. The boy has to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nah,
I got you. Anyway, we're moving on to Baltimore versus Tennessee. Lamar Jackson obviously getting his first playoff dub. I liked what Baltimore was able to do in this game. I thought for a while this was going to be a back-and-forth fight, but then Baltimore bared down and just said, no, we're winning this today. The only thing I didn't like, I understand where the logo stomping comes from, but I feel like that's something you do post-game. You don't do it, with that minute to go, because look, obviously that was like a game-winning interception, but you do some weird shit and the ball goes the other way and the Titans had a chance to go downfield. I'm saying sometimes karma can be a bitch.
I didn't even think about it till then. But yeah, if they would have lost, it would have been all we would have been talking about. So
yeah.
It's a good point. I can't believe Derrick Henry was pretty much nothing.
I know
the magic number for him is 25. You get him 25 carries, that's the sweet spot. You get him 30-plus touches, they usually win. But the thing is, you couldn't really do that when he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It got to the point where you were behind, you had to start throwing.
Yeah, he had 18 carries for, I think, 40 yards.
40 yards, yeah.
Like, that's like what, two? Like, it's like two, that's like 2 and 2.5 yards a carry. The magic number for him as well is if you keep him under 100 yards. We learned that in the Packer game. But I said this earlier in the week, the Baltimore defensive line was missing Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams last time they played. They had both of them this time, and what did it lead to? Calais Campbell, maybe in my opinion, one of the most underrated defensive tackles in this league.
Man, and you could tell how frustrated Henry was, man.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for him, because you can't run through holes that don't exist. His longest rush of the game was 11 yards, man.
Yeah.
it was rough. I'm gonna go ahead and skip ahead a bit. I think the Ravens are going on a run.
I said this.
That's all I've seen.
I want to touch on that, Markeem, quickly, because I said this about the Ravens, that this year, you know what? I thought they were gonna have they were gonna hit a plateau somewhere in the regular season, and they did what I've seen New England do in the past. I've seen other teams who made the Super Bowl in the past do. You hit a lull November-ish, and then you figure it out in December. That's when teams are deadly.
We're gonna see the two hottest teams in the NFL play each other this weekend.
Yeah, and also too with Baltimore, not only can their run game attack Buffalo, because Buffalo, we saw that Jonathan Taylor had a lot of big carries against them. If J.K. Dobbins goes full Buckeye on Buffalo defense, it's going to be a long night for Bills Mafia, because that's the way to beat Josh Allen. We saw the Colts almost do it, where you got to keep him on the sidelines and you just got to run the ball and just pound the clock.
Yeah, man.
And I'm sure Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, can keep moving the ball. I'm sure.
Here's the thing I will say. I was working, so I didn't get to, I only got to see highlights of that game. And actually, funny story. I went on my break and decided to pull it up on. By the way, if you don't know about Yahoo Sports, it's a great app. So you can watch a lot of NFL games on that. And it's not a bootleg app; it's a legit app. But anyways, just plug it, little small plug there. But no, I got on, sat in my seat in my break room, turned it on, and as soon as I turned it on, I see Lamar Jackson literally taking off for a touchdown. But just a little funny story, because I was like, of course, when I pull it up, that's what happens. But no, I don't know. Obviously, like you said, the Ravens are cruising right now. I I just feel like Lamar Jackson is do or die. Like obviously, you can say that about a lot of teams, but like Lamar Jackson is just a freak. Like, he's amazing.
You're saying it's like they live by what?
So even if he's average, their team's not good. Like, he has to be like this special guy, and that's what I'm getting at. Like, I'm not saying they barely. I mean, but it was a close game against Tennessee, and not that Tennessee's like a pushover team either. But like, I just don't know, like. Where you have Buffalo, where you have he has decent receivers, but he needs like, I think he still needs help to get to over to that. Obviously they got their first Lamar Jackson playoff win, so that was huge. But like, I just think with Lamar, like, it's do or die with, like, you live and die by Lamar Jackson, like what Markeem said. Like, I think I just don't. When I look at Buffalo, I look at it more of a complete team. Like, Josh Allen has Diggs, like he has. A good running game. I mean, obviously, Jackson has a good running game behind him, too. But, like, I feel like it's just too much focus on him where I just don't think the team itself is good enough to get past it. But they look good. I mean, they like I said, as long as Lamar Jackson is enough. I mean, that's they contained Henry enough in that game. So that's all they needed to do to win. And I like the Ravens in that game because I think, you know, I know last year I picked Tennessee to beat the Ravens because of the situation of resting players and the fact that they weren't hot. Tennessee was going to come in after beating New England very hot. So I just think this year the Ravens are different. I just think going into Buffalo, I'm not so sure about that. But we'll get to that later.
To me, COVID is making this whole thing weird.
Oh, yeah. It has.
Because, like, the idea of home field advantage, it doesn't exist the way that you would think. Like, it's not – like, can you imagine if that Bills Stadium was full?
Colts game, the Bills' presence was known, but it, like, just imagine they were talking about, like, what if Rivers is trying to get off all these audibles, but he can't hear?
It could have been
a lot different. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like same thing with Lamar Jackson going into a Buffalo.
That's why I feel like the way these playoffs will play out, it'll be unlike anything any of us expect because this season's weird. It'll be just like the NBA bubble. Weird shit is about to happen, y'all.
We already saw it. With the Browns and the Steelers. You think that happens with full fans? Like, I don't know if the Browns can go into Pittsburgh
and win like that.
Like, they might win, but to win like that, like, yeah. I mean, Big Ben was like awful. We'll get to that game.
Before we get to that game, though, and this is another team too, where if there were full stadiums right now, I would 100% be picking this team to win on Sunday. I'm still a little up in the air just because, obviously, look, you've got basically the two Goliaths of, well, older Goliaths, we'll put them, going up against one another. But Saints-Bears, like, imagine, too, that Superdome, I can say this, I've been in that Superdome.
Twice.
No, I meant for football. Like, I meant for a Saints game. Yeah, I've been in there for a Saints game. Like, it is loud. It gets loud in that stadium. So, just like, that's another team that really benefits from a home crowd. Like, there is 3,000 people, but like we say, 3,000, you add in another 60,000 in there, it's a completely different ball game.
And I think you can make the same case for Lambeau. Like, Lambeau in the frozen tundra with fans would even
I think the, like, weather has more of a factor into that one than the fans, though.
Like, I think in normal circumstances, I probably wouldn't give the Rams a chance at all. But going in with, like, it just isn't it's not the same year. Like, I think the Rams legit do have a chance.
Markeem knows a bit about this guy, but if Cam Akers plays the way he did at Florida State or even on Saturday against Seattle, it's going to be a long day for that Packer defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing, too, people forget to notice. Green Bay's run defense can be pretty bad. But with New Orleans, Chicago, this was the game where I looked at it and I went, okay, this is why having a seventh seed may not be the best idea for the playoffs. Obviously, it creates a lot of parity. But there's that ringtone again. Hey, man, it's all good. The only thing I wish I could have done was watch this game on Nickelodeon because all I saw from all the highlights, it looked awesome. Like, Nate Burleson apparently did a great job explaining the game to the kids. Noah Eagle sounds exactly like his father. And what was the other thing I was going to say, too? Phil, did you see a tweet from Kurt Warner about his son, like, for the first time ever watched a football game because it was on Nickelodeon?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and then I only saw it because there, and then I saw the other reply because some asshole, I guess, had the audacity to tweet back at him and say, like, all this stuff, and then basically went on to describe that his son is apparently, like, he's 31, but he's blind. I think he had a brain injury at a very young age. Like, for the fact, too, that...
Yeah, Kurt Warner went through a lot. Mitchell Trubisky likes Avatar: The Last Airbender, so I fuck with him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably why he won.
The MVP.
You know what? Deshaun Watson can have all his accolades. Patrick Mahomes can have all his accolades and money. Mitchell Trubisky from that draft has an MVP. But I will say this though: that Nickelodeon thing, I think, was such a success that you're going to see it incorporated more often next season.
How they don't do that? Honestly, like seeing that. How that's not an every Super Bowl thing, I don't know.
No, I wouldn't do
would
it.
Would that be the thing to do? Like, so kids can, you can, like, that doesn't seem like an easy thing to do. Put the Super Bowl in Nickelodeon. Like,
I don't know if I would go that far.
It's probably the broadcasted deal.
Well, true, right. I'm sure there's others. I mean, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, it just seems like something they would do for a big game like that.
But guess what's coming up soon is the contracts for the TVs are getting renewed this offseason, so CBS may put that in, saying, like, hey, we're going to broadcast, not every week, but once in a while. And the other spot where I think this could really be beneficial, too, is those random Saturday games late in the year. Like, you know how this year, how we had the three back-to-back-to-back on the day after Christmas? You put one of those games on Nickelodeon. Like, make it a Nickelodeon thing. And also, too, the one thing I was thinking about is, man, I kind of wanted to see a kicker miss the... Imagine if a kicker missed the field goal with that SpongeBob like the SpongeBob net. And also, too, I actually got the numbers from the Nickelodeon game. It did 2 million people, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but for...
That's a lot for Nickelodeon.
That's a lot for Nickelodeon.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Like, the CBS... CBS did about 28 million for that game, but the fact that Nickelodeon did such a high number like that, I think speaks volumes to going forward. Like... We saw it a month ago on Monday Night Football when you had the Muppets do that little shtick at the beginning before Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Yeah. Like,
and, is Nickelodeon owned by a big corporation?
They're under the CBS. They're under the CBS umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay. But going to the game though, look, Michael Thomas got a touchdown because I want to talk more about the Saints because honestly, the Bears really weren't. There's nothing to talk about with the Bears. There's more bad. Like, I'd rather not talk about that, but. If the Saints play the way they did on Sunday going forward, I still think they can make the Super Bowl. A lot of people, like someone told me last night, they still think it's going to be Kansas City, Green Bay, but obviously that's the attractive pick because we all know the history that, hey, no team has won the Super Bowl without a bye since the 2012 Ravens, but I seriously think New Orleans is going to be riding some steam to get Drew that last ring because I'm pretty sure he's going to retire at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, that's another game that I was not home to be able to watch a lot of. But, there's nothing to really see. Saints, unless the Saints did something shocking and sucked, you know, out of nowhere. But, I mean, my Super Bowl, pre-season Super Bowl pick was Chiefs-Saints. So, it's like, I still think the Saints are a team that can make a run, and when you have the added bonus of the fact that this might be the last year you have Brees, players are going to play harder, they're going to play tougher, they're going to be like, you know. So I think the Saints Bucks is a big matchup, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I think the Saints did what they needed to do against the Bears, and that was, you know.
The thing I'll say, though, about this team as well is that, and I'm going to say this for both teams, we don't know what the Saints are going to be like next year because of their cap situation because they're like $90 million over. And I'll say this about the Bears. They're either going to be good next year or they're going to suck. I don't think there's any, like, cute middle ground with them. I think they're either going to be good or they'll be really bad.
I think they're definitely going to take a hit because I don't think Allen Robinson's coming back.
Oh, no.
I think he's definitely going somewhere, so... We'll see. We'll see about that. We have plenty of podcasts to talk about the future of the Bears and other teams. So,
oh, believe me, we're gonna have so many free. I like, you know how Markeem said you wanted to come back for the draft,
right?
Wait, is Markeem there?
Yeah, man.
Okay, cool. Sir. I wasn't sure. I didn't hear that. So, you know how you said you wanted to come back for the draft, right? Like, you're obviously coming. Like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, I want to call all the guys who not only know NFL but who know college for the draft, so you guys can do that. Like, you know, Markeem, Big Raph, Phil, get everyone's opinion. Get Joe in here because the draft's going to be a big topic because, like, Chicago's going to have to draft well and also to develop some talent because, like, look, Mooney's a, they are pointing towards him for the future, but it's the same narrative with the Bears every year. They have a great defense, but, man, their offense sucks. Like, look at who they made the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, for fuck's sakes.
I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
Looking back, all right, so at the time it was crazy, right, Markeem? But looking at it now where all these there's so many good quarterbacks across the way, it still baffles me. I mean, obviously you can still probably make the same case about Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco also balled out the year that he went.
No, so, Joe Flacco is way better than Rex Grossman.
Yeah, right. That's also true, too. But
Rex Grossman, you know, may be the worst quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl.
I don't think. Can you make it? I mean, not modern era, you can't make another case.
I mean, the only one I can think of is maybe Trent Dilfer.
But he was pretty solid though. Like he wasn't.
But that Ravens defense was like one of the best defenses of all time.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
he had the same amount of touchdowns as interceptions that season, Phil.
Yeah.
I mean,
he wasn't
embarrassing. You know, I'll say that much.
It's like the same thing with the Bucs in 03. Like that Bucs defense was just unbelievable. Like,
but do you think there's gonna be a scenario? Like, I just can't even imagine a Rex Grossman like quarterback making the Super Bowl again.
Oh God, no.
In this era, I just don't
somebody that bad? No, I don't think so.
No.
Like, even Bortles was solid when he was, like, when they almost made it. Like,
yeah.
They were so.
You mean, like, playing like that and making. No, I don't think so.
No.
Right. It's not only. Because, I mean, Rex Grossman didn't have to do anything. That Bears defense was so good. Like, I mean, obviously, their offense had.
I mean, the last time we saw that was Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Oh, right. That is true.
I mean, you're wrong.
You ain't wrong, though.
Nah, to be fair, Peyton wasn't bad the game before that. He was terrible in that Super Bowl.
Though. Yeah, Super Bowl, he didn't do anything. He didn't have to do anything, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Peyton was all right, like, in that 07 Super Bowl, but, like, yeah, that was prime Brian Urlacher in that Super Bowl. I'm trying to think about who else was on that Bears defense, but no, I'm just saying that, because, like,
we're talking about different Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Denver Super Bowl. Okay.
Denver.
Yeah, okay. Because I was also trying to think about it, too. Like, that, I just want to look back at that 0-1 Super Bowl, because that was Trent Dilfer against Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
Like,
and Collins was better, so what does that say about Trent Dilfer?
Yeah.
Not a lot. Like, Trent Dilfer, I'm trying to remember whose offensive weapons were. I know he had Shannon Sharp. I'm blanking on who his, like, running backs and receivers were. But, like, yeah, he had, like, who was the guy's name? He had Rod Woodson. He had, Ray Lewis, like that 2000 Ravens defense was like Brian Billick coached that team well.
Wait, unrelated. So I'm looking at CBS's draft prospect rankings. Why do they have Jamar Chase ahead of Devontae Smith?
I think that's Jamar Chase had like all the hype coming out of last year.
Sorry, Griff, I didn't mean to interrupt. But the one thing I think I did read one thing where like apparently the NFL. Gurus, whatever, don't seem to like to draft a small receiver that high or something like that because they said the last two that they mentioned were Josh something and then Tavon Austin.
Look, so that's like, fine and all, but yeah. Devontae Smith is much different than that.
Oh, I agree.
Well, agree. Now is not the time, but we'll talk about.
We'll talk later.
What was I going to say? Next game we get to talk about, and I only have two words to say about this, and that's Corvette. You know how I said earlier that the Seattle Seahawks have a lot of stuff to address this offseason? So does Pittsburgh, because for those of you who do not know, this is Markeem and Phil, which I'm pretty sure they know, but for the viewers who don't know, if the Steelers keep Ben, he's owed $41 million. If they cut him, the dead cap's $22
million. As I said, they're riding him out.
Also, too, I do have a hot take. I do not think Juju Smith-Schuster is a Steeler at the start of next year. I think he goes somewhere else.
Is he a free agent?
He is a free agent.
Ooh, I kind of like Juju. I'm not going to lie. Even though he kind of talks a little too much smack.
What's more important to him, yearly stability or guaranteed money? That will make the difference.
I think it's going to be stability over money, honestly. Like, if he can get...
If that's the case, he's gone, then.
I mean, Markeem may not agree, but I've always, like, I think Charlie is shouting out my fellow Patriot fan again, but Charlie's like this with me, too. Mike Tomlin's head should have been on the
on the chopping block.
You know it. Hey, that's my boy. I like him from personal level. Yeah, I mean, he knows my cousin Andre. You know what I mean? They went to high school together. Cool dude with the work high, my guy. But he got to go.
He got to go. He's done, man. It's just not working anymore. So, but they're not going to do that. This Pittsburgh doesn't fire coaches, so.
No, dude, Phil, they've been through three coaches in the last 50 years.
I know, yeah. Mike Tomlin's going to be there until he decides he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, anymore, yeah, so. Literally. Like, the Rooneys won't do it. I don't think his head's going to be on a spike, but I think next year it's going to be like, okay, like, we, not saying they got to win a Super Bowl, but they got to be consistent throughout the years, like, throughout the season.
And they need to draft help for, I mean, not help, but they need to draft a backup in a future for Ben. Like, clearly Big Ben is on his last leg. Like, one, he probably shouldn't even be playing anymore.
I have a crazy take about that. I want to see what you guys think.
But you have to draft.
Hold on, my bad. Let me not misrepresent Mike Tomlin. Went to Warwick. Graduated from Denver.
There you go.
I have a crazy take about Washington. Pittsburgh and what they could do. Why not bring in Dwayne Haskins?
Oh God.
I know it's crazy, but like, he's a backup that's looking like if a backup to learn, and like, he's gonna have to be low man on the totem pole. So I'm just saying, like, he's there and it'd be cheap.
You think that, like, that guy with the issues that he has needs to go to Pittsburgh?
See, Griff, the problem wasn't that he was bad. The problem was that he was irresponsible.
Very irresponsible.
He decided the strip club was more important than his health, I guess.
With a coach that has literally battling cancer.
It's just something I heard about that I wanted to throw out as a hot take.
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm not knocking. I mean, I get, like, you putting the placement there as far from a talent level. He's one of those guys that I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole right now.
Someone's gonna sign him as a cheap backup. Some bad team out there. The one thing that Pittsburgh needs as well, and also here's the other thing too: James Conner is a free agent, so there could be a lot of different pieces next year. Because I think they're honestly gonna ride. Like, they have a good tight end tandem with Ebron and McDonald.
I'll tell you what they need to do too.
What?
By the way, Griff, I don't want it to happen, but one of the rumors of a landing spot for him if he does leave, or obviously he'd have to get traded.
Who?
But J.J. Watt to Pittsburgh. I've heard that. That would be something that they would need to do.
I would love that to happen,
obviously, but...
Oh, God, I could go on about Houston all day long. I don't know if anyone saw it, but Andre Johnson stepped in with the Houston Texans situation and basically put Jack Easterby in a body bag.
Honest to God, I think Houston needs to blow it up. I know they signed Watson to a long deal. I think they need to blow it up. That's the only way they're going to fix it.
If they decide to trade him, then yeah, go ahead and just blow the rest of this thing up.
Well, right, that would be the move that says, okay, blow it up. Trade Watt. Trade every asset. Will Fuller I think he's a free agent.
Will Fuller is a free agent.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, this is your time, your moment. So either you're going to build. Like, I just don't think. I don't know, man. Watson does not seem. Unless there's a lot of times there's a lot of smoke and rumors that don't end up being really all that true, so we'll see how it works out. It just does not seem. Andre Johnson to come out, it seems I think there's something
like in the middle. I don't think he's going around telling his teammates, "Hey, I want them to trade me."
No, I don't think he's saying that either.
But I do think he told someone to put that in the air. Though. I absolutely didn't.
Yeah.
But did you see the? I've been on here since that happened. Did you see when Watt and him were walking off the field, and he's like, "Sorry, bro," and Watson's like, "Sorry," and then JJ Watt's like, "We wasted another one of your years." Like.
Oh, so, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, that was legit. That's not rumored. That's like, you can literally see the video of them walking off and watch. They both say sorry to each other, and JJ Watt's like, "We wasted another one of your years, bro. We should have easily won 10 games." And then Watson's like, "I know, bro." Or so I don't know what Watson said, but yeah, JJ Watt literally says, "I'm sorry, we wasted another one of your years."
JJ.
And then the interview with him was amazing. Like, I think we did talk about that.
Yeah, we did.
So Watt's interview, like, when he's talking about how, like, losing is unacceptable. People are sitting here trying, like, they're using their hard-earned money to watch us play, and we're not giving it the full effort when there's talent on that team. Like, there is. Like, I understand where J.J. Watt's coming from. I personally think J.J. Watt's done, too.
J.J. Watt's gone, though,
Watson,
because...
I don't know. Watson, I think that's on them. Like, obviously, Watson, there's nothing he can do about it, but...
I think Watson stays, but I think that Watt is gone, not only from a cap move perspective, because the Texans are in cap hell, but they have to get some draft capital back if they want to try to be relevant next year. Because, look, we know that the Titans are probably going to improve because they need to. The Colts are only getting better. The Jaguars, probably Trevor Lawrence coming to town, so we'll see what happens there. And plus, they have $100 million to work with in cap. But going back to this game, the Cleveland Browns, with their first road playoff win in 52 years. But I want to ask you guys this from a perspective. Don't laugh at me. I want to go around and do a game. We're going to do, it's called percentages. If you had to label a winning percentage chance that they have on Sunday in Kansas City, what do you label it as?
Oh, God.
you want to go first?
I'll go first. Honest to God, you put me on the spot. I'll say like 15%.
I give it a little bit more. Because
I almost went 20, but...
Yeah, they can score, and, you know, Kansas City's looked a little vulnerable on defense.
Right, they have.
Nearly lost to Atlanta.
I'm definitely not big on the damn Browns, man. Look, man, Ben gave them four turnovers.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
At that point, the game's done. Like, he gave them three early ones, then he gave them a fourth one. The game was done.
And here's the thing about that. Mahomes might give them four, but is that called? Like, would we be shocked if they came back from that? Like, the Steelers weren't coming back.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't coming back. Even though they did make it remotely, like, respectable at some point, they still weren't going to come back.
Imagine the memes if they did.
Right. So Mahomes, like, I don't know. Now I'm not saying if the Browns go in and score 28 unanswered points, it's 28 to nothing. Can Mahomes do it again? I doubt. But there's more hope that he can. There's more, like, there's proof that he has been down 24-0. Like, if it's, like, fluke turnovers. Not, I mean, obviously, Big Ben threw, like, interceptions. Like, Mahomes was just, like, there was, like, I can't remember what happened in the Texans game last year, but I remember, like, a kickoff return fumble, and there was, like, just weird stuff. So, I mean, I think that...
Oh, so...
Yeah, Griff, to answer your question, though, 20.
All
right. Yeah, that seems about right.
I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 30, just to spice it up a little bit.
I'm not foolish enough to pick them, though.
Neither am I.
To me, if the Browns went in and beat Kansas City, it would, like, expose even more about how... Like, because I'm honestly down in Kansas City. I think Markeem said it the same. Like, I'm a little down. Like, I just don't think they necessarily have it together. But if Mahomes pulls a rabbit out of his hat like he did last year, like, he could still go on a run because he has the talent. That offense has that talent. And the defense isn't, you know, it's questionable, of course. But, like, for the Browns to go in there and beat them... To me, Mahomes would have to play an awful game.
Yeah,
and a lot would have to go right for Cleveland.
Have to be awful. And the only time, the worst collectiveness I've seen from Mahomes, I would say, is the first half of that Super Bowl. He looked pretty bad.
Like, he didn't look god awful, though.
But he didn't, but even, yeah, so he looked pretty bad. But I mean, I guess I should say Mahomes bad. Like, Mahomes on the Mahomes scale.
Yeah, for his.
And even then, they're still in the game at that point. So, like, it wasn't horrible, you know, like, on an overall scale. So, and granted, it happens. Sometimes, like, things happen in football. That's what we love about football. But this would be a true, true upset. Like, this, like, no, like, at least with Browns and Steelers, like,
you got it was an upset, but it wasn't, like...
But I was one of those things, like, well, of course, we knew the Steelers weren't that good, or Big Ben's obviously got exposed, like, the Browns are motivated for this game, it's a division rival, like, were we really that shocked? Like, Markeem said, we're not that shocked. Like, yeah, it's still an upset, but this would shock the NFL world. Like, the Browns going in, regardless of how they won the game, like, winning at all, to me, would be a huge game. I can't imagine. Like,
hey, I'll say this though: if they somehow magically win this game, there's no way they're winning the next one.
No.
There's just no way you're gonna tell me they can beat Kansas City and then go on to beat what I would think would be Buffalo.
Yeah. The only thing with Kansas City, I'll say though, and this has been their kryptonite all year: they play down to the level of their competition. So
they did that last year.
I think this game will go, I think, either one of two ways. Either Cleveland gets their butts whooped, because we saw it too. Their defense really is really. That's the thing next year they have to do in free agency this year. They have to go out there and get some good defenders. Obviously, they got Garrett. Their line's looking good, but it's the linebackers in the secondary. They have to shore it up and get depth. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to keep up. But I think this game's going to go one of two ways. Either this is like the Atlanta Falcons game, you know, where it's low scoring and close, but then I think Kansas City does enough to win. Or it's a straight butt whooping. I think it's going to be either or.
And here's another thing I'll say: like, I wish I was more confident in this matchup, because Kansas City is doing the exact not. It's not the exact same thing because Baltimore was. I think you can make a case was way hotter going in until they when they did last year when they did this. But Kansas City has not played fully for 2 weeks, or no, I guess 3 weeks now. I guess now. So like they had like they didn't.
How does that affect them?
How does that affect them? I mean, because they haven't. They didn't have to do that last year. Right, so like that, you know, like this year they're having to do. Well, I don't think they sat players last year. I don't remember them sitting players.
Kansas City, no, they were playing. They were playing up until week 17. Because remember, they had the game where they snuck in. I think I'm just gonna look at Kansas City's recent schedule because even though they finished 14-2, like they had close ones with the Falcons, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Bucs, the Raiders, like all of their games since about week 9 have been, for the most part, one score games.
And so I could see, I guess what I'm saying, I would not be shocked at a slow start because it seemed like Kansas City even last year started slow. Obviously, they did. So I think that's not the shocker. It's just once they get going, the Browns aren't going to be able to stop them.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But anyway, guys, I just want to take the time to thank you both for coming on today. It's always a blast. Phil has the number one record. I don't remember what the stats were from last time, but I'm pretty sure you're either at, I think you're at 19 or you're at 20 now for appearances. Markeem, his second appearance on the podcast, definitely not his last. I always learn, like, Markeem's opened my eyes up so much to college football, and I thank you immensely for that, my friend.
He's the reason I know half of my stuff when it comes to college football. I'll say that.
Well, you know what, Markeem, I am definitely getting Markeem back before the Super Bowl. Phil, you're definitely coming back before the Super Bowl. And the other thing too, I wanted to add in quickly, my friend of the show, Andy McNamara from Roger Sportsnet. I was just DMing him saying good luck because he is a Cleveland Browns fan, and he's like, "Oh, I'm a little worried." I just told him, and I love saying this about football: any given Sunday. That's why we watch this game. That's why we like to enjoy it. Because, look, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, and we have matchups this week that, I mean, that's really the only match. I think we'd all agree that's the one only lopsided matchup this week. You got the Bills-Ravens. You can make a case for either one, right?
Yep.
You've got the Saints-Bucks also can make a case for either one. And then you have the Rams the Rams and Packers are probably the next closest lopsided possibility, but I think that game's gonna. Honestly, I think that game could shock some people. To be honest, so.
Well, I think it's gonna be close.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be real close. Actually, yeah, I agree. So Kansas City Browns. Honestly, like I don't even know if I'll tune in the first half because it's like, what's the point?
The only thing
let's see what the score is going into the second half.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about those games though, and that sucks this weekend, is that Saturday doesn't start till 4:30 and Sunday doesn't start till 3:00. Like I love.
But that helps me. That benefits me absolutely. Oh, for what? Saturday morning.
Oh, true, true. Right. You know what? You know what? I like it, but I loved just having the three standalone games. Like on Saturday, I had to go do some grocery shopping. I made sure I was back in time for the start of kickoff, and I basically left my couch a total of like a few times on Saturday and Sunday. Like one was to take out the garbage, one was to make dinner, and the other is to go to the washroom. Besides that, I was purely on my couch Saturday and Saturday from 4:30 until 11:30, and from Sunday from about 3:00. Till like 10, because we'll say this game's 6:40, I'm going to be glued. But guys, the season's winding down. But can I tell you the other reason why I'm excited to have you guys on at this time of the year, though?
Go ahead.
Because I can't wait to have you guys back on when we get like a big group of us and are just spewing takes out that aren't even going to happen for at least another 6-7 months.
Oh, I know. That's going to be fun. It's always fun.
I'll say it
again. One thing I will say, I'll plug it again for those that work. Because I work during some of the games and stuff like that, and I'm out and can't necessarily stay home and watch them all the time. Yahoo Sports has been a blessing, bro. Like, all season long, but especially now for the playoffs, all the playoff games are on there. You can just pull them up on your phone. I have a brand new iPhone 12 Pro Max, so it's amazing on there. So
not a big deal.
Was that a flex just now? Was that a
flex? It's a bit of both. It was a bit of both.
It sounded like a flex, but I'm really not flexing anything. I still live at home with my parents, so I'm not flexing anything.
Oh, well, anyway, guys, I think that'll do it for episode 55. Well, anyway, guys, hopefully we covered all the bases. But anyway, Phil, Markeem, guys, thank you very much once again for coming on to YWC Football Talk. And I'll see you guys later this week to get you ready for divisional weekend. Have a good night, everyone.
One love, guys. One love.
All right.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.